Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve is back on Wednesday. Andy Mazur riding shotgun.
I'm here.
New Year's Eve.
You know,
let's bring in the booze, guys.
New Year's
Let's start
Eve.
Right now.
Yeah, I can start right now.
Let's do this. Coming up at 6:35, we're going to have a trainer in studio, and I know a lot of people are trying to lose weight for the new year. You want to get in shape. You want to eat right. Mark Beyer from Shred 415 will be in studio. And Andy, I know you get upset when I talk about New Year's resolutions
I
and
do.
I talk about getting in shape.
But it's okay.
But if people listening can take one thing from all these people we're having on the show, like the Cubs nutritionist, Don Jackson-Blattner came in last week.
Yep.
And gave some great advice. We have a life coach, Gina Murata, that's going to be on tomorrow. We have Mark on today.
Mm-hmm.
If they can just take one thing that helps them in the new year, that's a win.
It's definitely a win. And, you know, just because I don't believe doesn't mean that everybody else shouldn't hear the
you
information.
You may be a believer.
You know, they may sway me.
Uh-huh.
They may be able to persuade me.
I would guarantee that Mark...
I'm a Taurus, you know, so I'm a little bullheaded when it comes to
Mark
these kind
is
of things.
Busier than anybody. He's got like 7 kids. You know, he works 14 jobs. And yeah.
You couldn't bring our friends in? Our friends...
Bonnie and Tracy.
Bonnie and Tracy.
From Shred 415.
Yeah. Don't we still have one more day of eating?
You do, but you're
no
compiling...
Exercise.
Mary, you're compiling the information.
Oh, we're just storing in our brain to sort it out what we're actually going to do.
Information is power.
Anything.
This is not about consuming food. It's about consuming information.
We're going to go through our resolutions around 7:30. So I want everyone on the show to write 3 down.
I've got my own.
Oh,
I've got mine ready.
Really?
Just write 3. Okay. What do you want to do? You want to be nicer to people?
No. Oh, well, okay.
Have patience?
You know exactly what mine is. I've told you this off the air.
I know. You want to be taller.
Taller.
I wish I would have saved my
resolved to be taller.
I just... You guys are the worst.
Andy's still stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Can we start the 6 and 6, please?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Time for the 6 at 6 again, brought to you by American Weathermakers. These are my guys now. They've been out to my house, so they're now my guys.
I've had them out too.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
At number one, the Bears win. They play the Eagles on Sunday. That's a 3:40 start. Is there any team hotter in the NFL?
Bears won 9 of their last 10.
Right. Is there any team hotter? Because you always want to go with the hot team entering the playoffs.
I would say no on defense, maybe on offense. But as a complete team, no.
No. No one.
Yeah, nobody.
I got to tell you, man, I am so excited because we have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
There is a chance because...
There's a chance. I know we have to go through New Orleans, and I don't want to look ahead past the Eagles.
Don't look ahead, and don't look past the Eagles. Don't look past the Rams, because that would be the next game if the Bears would win. And that would be a short week. It would be a Saturday game rather than a Sunday. That's already been determined.
One game at a time.
No, absolutely. And you know what? The thing is, and you'll hear it in the sportscast coming up in the next couple of hours here, about this plan that Matt Nagy had from the very beginning of this week about it being business as usual, no matter what the consequences were. No matter what, if they could get the second seed, great. If they couldn't get the second seed, they were still going to play their starters because they wanted to continue what they had started.
Why pull out the starters? I know there was a lot of talk on Twitter and social media. I know about injury, but that could happen in any game.
It could happen in any game at any time to anybody, as we've seen through the years.
You want to finish strong.
But you want to finish strong.
I wanted to win that game on Sunday. Yeah. I didn't want to pull the starters at the beginning, even though the Rams were up.
And you eliminate another division opponent.
Right. I don't want to see the Vikings in the playoffs.
I don't want to see them either.
And we don't want to play them again.
Yeah, they're going to play them again. Yeah.
Oh.
How do we get tickets for Sunday for people that aren't season ticket holders?
Call Hamp.
We'll talk to Hamp at 7:10. All right, the 6 and 6, number 2, New Year's Eve. 25% of you listening right now will stay at home tonight. Who's staying at home?
Well, I'm probably going to stay at home because I got to be back here with you tomorrow.
At 5 a.m.
I'm at home.
You're at home?
Yep.
I'm going to a friend's house.
To a friend's house for dinner, and then I'm coming home.
Okay, maybe I'll go to a friend's house just to be included.
Well, the game starts at 6. The Cats start at 6, so I figure at halftime I go back home, watch the second half, go to bed.
Good call.
Yeah. 33% of you listening won't even make it to midnight. When was the last time you saw midnight on New Year's Eve?
I won't make it.
Guaranteed. About 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't have to work New Year's Day, and I went to a party.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not bad. Dave Schwann staying up till midnight toasting.
Well, you could probably take a nap, though, this afternoon. You can't take a nap, though, Dave. You got to make it all the way through.
I didn't take a nap.
Where is that written in the rules?
Yeah, it's okay to take a nap, Mayor. Come on.
You like to sleep in your car? Let him take a nap.
I'm not sleeping in my car today.
That's right. She does.
I got to do that.
All right, number three of the 6 at 6. College National Championship is set. Alabama taking on Clemson on Monday, January 7th. Alabama beat to Oklahoma. Clemson crushed Notre Dame 30-3. I was so disappointed with Notre Dame. They didn't even show up. And so angry.
I was good. I was good with them.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I hate seeing blowouts, but I am one of these people that feel that Notre Dame, without a conference schedule, kind of has it a little bit easier.
Okay.
I mean, I know they play a quality schedule. I'm not gonna debate that. But you're playing conference games, and these are rivalry games that really mean something at that point, and you're trying to win to get into your conference championship game. They didn't have to play a conference championship
game. Even though they went undefeated the entire year.
They didn't have to play it.
Who's going to win the national championship?
Alabama.
Boy, Clemson looks great.
They do.
I saw a special on Dabo Swinney on ESPN on Saturday. He's a very likable guy.
Extremely likable. Very.
He was like a wide receivers coach, and they gave him the job, and he went into like a broom closet and sat there and started taking notes. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah. He's an incredible guy. He's turned that program around and has them a contender perennially.
They have a great defense compared to Alabama.
Great defense, a young quarterback. It'll be an interesting matchup, but I still think Alabama's the better team.
Okay. 6 at 6 at number 4. 40% of people listening right now have New Year's resolutions. I do. Andy?
I just came up with another one. I resolved not to make a New Year's resolution this year.
Mary?
What, am I supposed to come up with another one?
No, you need 3 by 7:30.
Oh, I'll have 3 by 7:30.
Dave Schwann, you need 3 by 7:30.
Well, okay, I've got one. Lose weight. Who doesn't have that one, right?
Everybody.
I don't.
So I need 2 more.
You want to get fit. You want to take care of the body, right?
Oh, sure you do. Yeah, but you can eat well and lose weight at the same time.
Yep, there's my third one. Gain weight.
Out of the 40% that are listening right now that have New Year's resolutions, only 8% will last 30 days with those resolutions. You got to make them simple, guys.
This is why I look at you and shake my head every time you bring this up.
Why are we doing it then?
Because it gives us something to do at 7:30. All right, number 5, the 6 at 6. The Monday after the end of the NFL regular season means one thing. Coaches will get fired. Todd Bowles from the Jets got fired last night.
Yep.
Okay, what about Vance Joseph from the Broncos?
Probably on the chopping block.
He's been there 2 seasons. Yep. He's been under 500 both seasons.
Been bad, yeah.
John Elway doesn't have patience for that.
No, John Elway may have to look in the mirror as well because he's the one providing the groceries, so to speak.
Steve Wilkes from the Cardinals?
1 year and done, probably.
One and done. Yep. They are just awful.
They got the first pick in the draft in 2019 due to the Cardinals.
Anybody else get fired last
night? Yeah, Dirk Cutter of the Buccaneers gets fired after 3 years.
No one cares about the Buccaneers. All right. And finally, the 6 at 6. Please don't drink and drive tonight. Illinois police are increasing patrols tonight for New Year's Eve and tomorrow for New Year's Day, as are your local police. 6 people died on the Illinois roads last year. So don't drink and drive. Public transportation, Uber, Lyft,
so many
or walk.
To do. You can just exactly
or you can
ride
stay
sharing.
Home, like Andy is doing
rides
tonight.
CTA.
Yeah.
Yes, CTA. All right, the 6 at 6 brought to you by American Weather Makers. Close it out!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Mike Ice. New Year's Eve. This is nice. Hold me, Andy.
Oh, my goodness. This is Kenny G.
This is good stuff. Kenny G. Yeah. I used to love waiting until midnight and just kissing random girls when you were in college at a bar. Hey, it's midnight. Come over here, baby. Let's make out.
It's the Lucky Lady Saloon.
Yes, I love it. Anybody going to be watching Ryan Seacrest tonight on TV?
Not if I can help it.
I'll probably watch him.
All right. What time does that come on? 8 o'clock?
I have no idea.
Ryan Seacrest on ABC. You have Steve Harvey on Fox.
Okay.
And Carson Daly on NBC. so you can be watching. How many people do you think is going to be in Times Square? They estimate that 1 to 2 million people will be in Times Square tonight for the ball drop.
Hmm.
By the way, there's people that get in line or get there in the morning and they bring a box of Depends. Because there's no way...
You can't go to the bathroom anywhere, yeah.
I swear to you. Yeah. They bring Depends, and there's no way that you can move once you're there. I don't understand that.
Get those stadium buddies.
You want to see that ball drop so much that you put on Depends and go in your pants?
It's an event.
I understand
it's
that.
It's one of those bucket list kind of things for people.
But New York says...
after all, the new kids on the block are going to be there.
NKOTB.
Snoop Dogg, Sting.
Okay.
I'd wait for Sting.
Hmm... Okay.
As long as Mariah Carey's not going to be there and acting like a diva, we're all good.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Was that last year?
That was a couple of years ago, I think.
Where she walked off?
She walked off stage, yeah.
Jenny McCarthy and Ryan Seacrest are together tonight, right?
Yeah.
Is that the combo?
That was it last year.
Okay. Is that Jenny's only job?
I don't know. I never
because I feel like that's it. She does it once a year, and she's in and out. It's like Kathy Griffin. Remember she got fired from CNN?
Uh-huh.
Unless you see her around town. I mean, she lives in the area, doesn't she?
St. Charles.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not hanging out at the Jewel in St. Charles. That's not happening. No way. Uh-uh. Not happening. They estimate tonight 1 to 2 million people will be in Times Square, but the real number is about 100,000. There's no way that 2 million people could fit in that small area. They say it's the shape of a bow tie. I was just in Times Square, I want to say about a month ago when I was in New York walking around, and that was on a random Friday afternoon, and there was thousands of people, and it was packed. There's no way that they can get a million people down there. They say that the reason they do this is because New York wants to be the center of the universe and known for something. So they say, oh, there's going to be 2 million people there. And remember, it's a rough estimate.
Yeah.
When we have the light show down here on Michigan Avenue, oh, there are a million people showed up, guys.
Sure they did.
There's a million people down there on Michigan Avenue, that's which like, in reality...
that's like a million people that say they were at no-hitters.
Right. They say that if you can see the ball drop, or if you can see the ball, which you can see for miles in New York, those are the people that they're counting. Come on. I don't believe that. So when you walk...
They should count us because you can see it on TV.
Has anybody ever done a New Year's Eve celebration? A big one? Where they had the ball drop?
In New York? Or anywhere?
Anywhere. Remember years ago at the Hyatt, they had the ball drop here?
Oh, yeah.
I hosted that event.
Oh, okay.
That was like in 2000. They thought, we're going to do a ball in Chicago. It was one and done. 1 year.
Yeah.
But,
They used to have a fireworks display on the Chicago River.
They did.
In the early 80s.
Yeah.
And some people got hurt, and they had to stop it. Some debris that was still kind of lit landed on some people, seriously, and they got burned. So they stopped doing that. But I was out there in New Year's Eve 1982.
1982, and you saw the fireworks?
I saw the fireworks. Right out here on the Michigan Avenue Bridge. It was neat.
And it was packed, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think they're doing fireworks again tonight on the Riverwalk.
Yeah,
River
they
Rock.
Are. Yeah.
They do fireworks at Navy
Between
Pier,
Lakeshore
right?
Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, I think they're doing it on the river, too.
And Wolf Point, Navy Pier is hosting its own over Lake Michigan as well.
So we're going to see a
couple.
Two displays of fireworks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I heard Roger, I believe, did a story on that. Five launch points.
We're going to start paying attention to the WGN radio news.
It's free in your headphones, by the way.
Is it really? Yeah. I got to do that. So Dave Schwann and I are the only two guys that have been packed in like sardines at a New Year's Eve party?
Yeah, I mean,
party?
I've done it, but when I was way younger.
I love it. My wife hated it. She said that was it. She's one and done. She'll never do it again.
Yeah.
It was crowded, but it wasn't to the point where you were uncomfortable. I was going out with a young lady at the time, and she and I just really enjoyed the evening. There was a lot of people there where they were all in good spirits, no trouble. So, you know, it wasn't like you were just totally squeezed in the area, but crowded.
Okay. Not bad. Well, tonight when you watch on TV, there's probably 100 to 200,000 people, not 1 to 2 million. They say to actually fit 1 million people in Times Square, it's the equivalent of a sold-out Yankee Stadium on every block of 7th Avenue. So every corner.
Wow.
That would never work.
No.
Not happening. Okay, so keep that in mind as you watch tonight. All right, New Year's resolutions. One is probably to lose weight or get in shape for the new year. We have Mark Beyer here from Shred 415. We'll talk to him right after news at the bottom of the hour on 720 WGN.
Just in time for the Winter Classic at Blackhawks Hockey House is now open at 333 North Michigan Avenue, just south of the Blackhawks store. Blackhawks Hockey House is filled with one-of-a-kind team exhibits, exclusive Winter Classic merchandise, and much more. Cheer, cheer for a Blackhawks New Year. Blackhawks Hockey House, 333 North Michigan Avenue.
We'll also check in with Dave Ennett at 9:35, who's live in San Diego for the Northwestern Wildcats Holiday Bowl game tonight. It starts at 5 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock here on WGN. Northwestern is 10-point underdogs, last I looked.
It's okay. Bring it on.
10-12 against Utah?
Utah's 9-4. They're pretty good.
They're 11. The coach is 11-1 in bowl games. Yeah, I looked that up,
they're
Andy.
Pretty good.
Did my research.
But so are the Wildcats.
Are they? Well, the
Wildcats are good.
You know, we had Coach Fitz on last week.
Yeah.
And the one constant with his three victories, he's been 3-0, is what?
Him.
Me.
Well, that's right, you.
I've talked to Coach Fitz before every bowl victory. Okay. And we did it again
last
week.
Let's see if you can do it, yeah. Third time may be the charm.
I said, Coach, I'm your good luck charm. Dead silence.
Do you realize that Northwestern as a program has been in the bowl 15 times? You know,
yes.
All time?
Yeah.
13 of those times have involved Pat Fitzgerald in some form as a student athlete, as an assistant coach, or a head coach.
God, I love him. Just talking to him. We got off the air, went into a commercial. I'm like, Dave, I get so pumped up talking to Coach Fitz. I just feel like I need to run around the studio.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
When you talk to him, he's such a Northwestern guy.
He bleeds purple.
Gosh. And there was talk about him going in the NFL, right? I can't see that happening.
I mean, there's a story that was circulating yesterday about him being interviewed by the Packers because Mark Murphy, who was the AD at Northwestern hired him, is now the Packers team president. So, it makes sense. But he kind of poo-pooed it a little bit there and said, yeah, that was, you know, it's an old story.
He's one of those guys that's a lifer there. Wouldn't you say?
You would think. I mean, he's taken care of pretty well there, and he's really established himself as a great recruiter,
right,
and a great coach.
Right.
It's a tough league that they're in.
It is.
Big Ten is not easy.
And it's a hard school.
Yeah. It's definitely a hard school.
To be a student athlete.
One of the smallest schools in the Big Ten, too.
So Dave Ennett at 9:35 when we're live on CLTV. All right. It's time for news. Dave Schwann, what do you have for us? Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. New Year's means new start. How many of us want to get in shape for the new year? I'm putting my hand up.
I'll put my hand up.
Mary Vandeveld, I see your hand's up. Dave Schwann, your hand's up. Dave.
My hand's not up.
Your hand should be up.
Remember, round is a shape.
Well, I'm going to stay in shape. How's that?
Mary's a runner.
No, I'm not. No, I don't really run much anymore.
You don't run anymore?
I do.
It's over?
Camp and ballroom dance and...
Same thing. You're moving
and
the body.
I run too, but not
every day.
Moving
the body.
Yes.
Joining us in studios, the director of training at Shred 415. You can go to shred415.com for details. It's our old friend, Mark Beyer. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Pete.
Were you working out this morning? You look. I mean, you got the tight shirt on. You're ready to go. Look at how good he looks. I was telling Andy earlier, the reason that I love you is because you're very relatable. You're a dad, you work multiple jobs, and you're a guy that gained some weight a few years ago, mm-hmm. and you put it up on Instagram. It's like, I fell off the wagon, man. I got to get back in shape, just like you.
That's right. I mean, everybody has their moments in time, you know, and the fact of the matter is you just have to refocus. You know, life happens. You know, you can go through, some people go through divorces, some people go through losing family members, and stress is real, and but you have to know that you're not alone, and that all it takes is one step forward and you can keep moving.
How do you motivate those people to take that step? Because there's people listening right now that haven't worked out.
Hardest step
ever. Haven't worked out in years.
It truly is. It that first step is always the hardest. You know, one of the things that I like analogies a lot. You know, we talked about this, Pete. It's like brushing your teeth. You know, it's like if you think you're gonna have one day of the week you're gonna brush your teeth and have great oral hygiene. You're not going to have great oral hygiene if you do it once a week. But if you do it every day, like we do, the one thing about that though is that it's instant gratification, right? It's interesting the psychology of how our mind works, and you know we brush our teeth and it feels good, and it only takes about 3-5 minutes, right?
Right.
But an hour workout, you know, you have to pack your clothes, get to the gym. hour workout, shower, maybe get back to work. And yeah, you feel good right after the workout, but you don't see those instant results. You know, it takes time to see if you're trying to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. It takes a long time to get that off. You know, there are professional athletes who have honed their craft for years and years and years. I mean, Kobe Bryant talks about it all the time. He was in the gym hours and hours before anybody else. And that's the reason he's one of the best in the world to ever do it. But it takes time.
It takes time. Would you give people advice to start doing things at their house, just moving their body? You always talk to me about stretching. Yeah. I have the flexibility of a 72-year-old man. Seriously.
I'm about 80 when it comes to that, yeah.
And I try to, you know, stretch at the house, and I'll take 5 minutes. I know I need to take about 15, but is that where they start, just stretching?
Yeah, I would start with, definitely stretching is one of those things that can, it actually releases some endorphins. So stretching the hamstrings and the glute muscles and our lower back muscles can actually help release some endorphins, which are going to make you feel better, right? So it actually helps you sleep a little bit better as well. So when you release endorphins, you mitigate your cortisol levels, your stress hormones. So when you release those endorphins, the stress hormones can start to go away. It's really good to do that before bed. So stretch about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes before bed. You can sit on the floor right next to your bed, stretch out those hamstrings, and you're going to feel a lot better. And one of those, again, it's more psychological than anything. If you can make yourself do those 15 minutes right before bed,
right,
you don't want to, the bed sitting right there, and you want to climb in bed,
never want to do it.
When you start to do that, you start to do everything else that you've told yourself you don't want to do, and which is the next morning get up and work out,
right?
Yeah.
Andy, you're shaking your head.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering, because, you know, is the worst part about this, because we live in a society now that no one's patient for anything.
No one's patient.
I mean, like you said, you want the instant gratification. And it's difficult to take that first step to get into there. But is it this kind of stuff you preach with, the baby steps to kind of get you into that?
Yeah, exactly. So another couple of things that I talk about are drinking water right when you wake up in the morning. So if you spent 6 hours to 8 hours during the day without water, you'd be pretty parched.
It's crazy how people don't drink water during the day.
And but most people do actually before 6 or 8 hours, they have at least something. And you're in your bed, you're sleeping for, I mean, some people say they get 5 hours of sleep. Fine. Even 5 hours. If you're in your bed, you haven't had anything to drink all night long, 5 to 8 hours, and you get up and you put food in your body, or you go out and you put coffee in your body, have 10 ounces of water right when you wake up. Maybe take your shower first. That's fine. But have 10 ounces of water. Force yourself down to have, it's actually harder. You'll find it's actually hard to drink that much water in the morning. Your body's just not ready.
It's very hard.
Yeah. And so if you force yourself to do that, it's psychological. It's like this thing that you have every day, this habit that you're creating, and you're telling yourself, I never used to do this. I'm doing it now for my health. And as that positive mentality goes into the brain, you start to make yourself do those things again that you don't want to do. So drinking water 10 ounces before you do anything else after you wake up, working out in the morning. You know, I've always said that you should work out when you have time and when it's more convenient for you.
Right.
And that is 100% true. But I do find that if you get your workout in the morning done, the rest of your day, you can do whatever you want.
It's gravy. Right?
And I truly believe a lot of what I've done is work out when I haven't eaten. So I'll drink my water, I'll work out, then go have breakfast. Because in my humble opinion, if you've got that calorie burn going in the morning,
oh, right,
then now, once you put that food into your system, now your body's going to use it. It's called insulin sensitivity. So your body's going to use that food for fuel. It's going to actually, you know, restore what you've burned a little bit. And again, it's always about calories in, calories out. So
everything in life's a numbers game, isn't it, Mark?
Yep, yep.
It is. Yep. Mark Byers here from Shred 415. So a bottle of water is 16 ounces.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 3/4 of a bottle you want to drink every morning. And you started me on this a few years ago because we've been friends a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, wake up and drink some water. Yeah. It's hard.
It is. It's really
hard. You got to force yourself to drink this water. And then you feel better. If you keep drinking the water throughout the day, you feel full. So you're eating less.
Yeah.
Which is true.
And water really does help everything. It helps your metabolism. It helps your hormones. It helps everything in your body. I mean, it's no secret, those bodybuilders, I mean, nobody 90% of the people don't want to be a bodybuilder out there, but you watch those guys and they drink a gallon at least of water a day, and it's because they need that for their system has to work properly, and that's what you need. You need a lot of water.
I tried doing a gallon.
Yeah.
I was going to the bathroom like every 20 minutes.
Well, you're old, Pete.
I'm like, what's going on here, man? This is just crazy.
That's what happens when you get older.
For people that aren't ready to take that first step and join a gym right now,
yeah.
You know, stretching at home, what about videos online? Go to YouTube. You can type anything in and exercise videos will show up.
Yeah, the 2019 is going to be the year of online, training. There are so many apps out there now. There are so many things on YouTube. There are so many things on Instagram. I mean, the amount of people out there that are putting free content out, it's amazing. So you should easily be able to find something that fits your need. Yoga, high-intensity interval training, treadmill runs. We have Shred 415 has online videos now.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you can type in YouTube Shred 415 and you can find some of our videos on there, and there'll be more to come.
God, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We had Dawn Jackson Blattner in last week, the Cubs nutritionist, who you know.
Yep.
And I talked to her about these, I need to stretch. I have lower back problems, the tightest hamstrings on the planet, so I need to stretch. And yoga, I had a New Year's resolution 2 years ago to take yoga.
Yeah.
But the class is an hour long.
Yeah.
And it's just so long. But I found on YouTube a 10-minute yoga, which is basically 10 minutes of stretching, which you talked about.
Yep.
It's simple.
Yeah. Right before bed, 10 to 15 minutes. And now, if it doesn't
And you can pull it up on your phone. Yeah.
Exactly. You can put your phone right there on your bed or your nightstand and do 10 minutes or 15 minutes right before you go to bed. It's perfect.
Right.
Same thing with any, quick workout. If you think about this, if you did push-ups and sit-ups and some squats, air squats, no weight, 100 reps each a day. If you aren't doing anything right now and you drink your water and you stretch, you'll be in better shape in 30 days than you were when you started.
It's How about that? Simple. Andy?
I could do that.
You can. What about push-ups if you're a guy?
Love them. Yeah. I've done.
I guess for females too. I didn't want to sound sexist, but
yeah.
I feel like that's such an easy workout for men.
I do push ups.
Yeah.
Mary does push ups.
Nobody likes doing push ups.
My elbows finally aren't sticking out. I finally have them held in close.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
That's form, another thing. It's all about form, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You got to have good form.
Mary is a dancer, and when we come back, we're going to check what's coming up top of the hour. But when we come back, different forms of exercise. It just doesn't have to be running and lifting weights, right?
Not at all. Just movement.
Mark Beyer is here, the director of training at Shred 415. You can go to shred415.com. What's happening at the top of the hour with news, Dave? Mm-hmm. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us, the director of training at Shred 415. It is Mark Beyer. Doesn't this just get you pumped up?
I love my intro music, Pete.
I can't work out unless I have music.
Okay.
Which is fine, right? Yeah, it's a good
totally
motivator.
Fine. Yes, it is a good motivator. Totally fine. There are some people out there that, you watch them on Instagram that say it's not... you don't have the self-motivation, but I need
anything to get you to work out. Why do people beat you down if you have music?
I know.
Like I used to do 5Ks with my brother Dave.
Yep.
Okay. Until my body fell apart and I can't really run anymore.
Yeah.
Because I have bad knees.
Yeah.
But we used to, have the headphones on and the other racers would yell at us. Oh, you can't do that. Well, why not?
Where is it written?
Why can't I do
that?
There's
no rules. There's no laws.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Have the Rocky theme when you start a race. Yeah. How does that not motivate you?
Especially when you pass them by.
Right. Exactly.
You're like, maybe you need some headphones.
Oh, Chariots of Fire phone in your headphones there? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Before the break, we were talking about Mary. Mary does dancing. She's a big dancer. Cross training. How important is that?
It's very important if you have time. And I often, like I said earlier about being working out when it's convenient for you, you also have to do things that you like. Forcing yourself to do some things that you don't like. Like you said, yoga. You said it's an hour long yoga and you didn't really like it.
And
But you found an app that does 10 to 15 minutes of yoga.
Right.
That's great. So cross training is really important because It's called repetitive use injuries. You know, if you continually just run, let's just say you're a runner and you just run and you don't stretch, like cross training would be considered a day where you could take off and just stretch. That, because it's typical, you know, you could go to a yoga class or you could just stretch at home.
Right.
That still could be considered cross training because you are giving your body a break and you're doing something different for it.
Okay.
That's simply what it is. So if you ran every day without stretching, eventually, most likely, there's the odds say you're going to get hurt.
Right. And doing the same workout over and over is not good for your body.
Correct.
Well, it gets used to it.
It gets used to it. Exactly. Right. So,
what about reaching down in the refrigerator for a beer? Is that considered stretching?
If it's a really heavy beer, then, then you got stretching and you got your weights.
When you gained weight, how much weight did you gain?
Probably about 15 pounds.
15
yeah,
pounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, that's, I don't fluctuate too much. You know, my whole life, I've stayed between about one, when I say my whole life, like after high school, right? You know, that's about when you're kind of at your peak, like 185 to 195. That's okay. About, and I got up to, I think about 202.
So did you have a number in your head? I want to lose 15 pounds right away.
Yeah, I know that if I get back down to like the 185 to 190 range, then I'm good. That's where I...
The reason I bring this up is because you put it on Instagram and you put videos up there and you had people, it was like a community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody was rooting for you and people were working out with you.
Yeah.
Social media is such a great outlet nowadays because people want to join you.
Yeah, it is. It's great, but it's also, it sometimes can be a little detrimental if you are trying to start out and you find those people, who are always putting the positive stuff out there. And when I say positive, like my life is so great, you know, look at, you know, and you start to think, well, maybe my life isn't so great, you know, if you're in a bad, you know, so it's hard.
Everybody's life is fantastic on social media.
Yes, I know. Yeah. That's the problem. That's one of the big problems with it. You know, try to separate all of that, you know, what appears to be a perfect life on Instagram. Everybody has their issues. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their issues.
I went out to Naperville to my sister's for Christmas, mm-hmm. and she gave us the care package to take home, and she gave us a plate of sweets. I don't eat sweets, but they were at our house,
you know,
so we had fudge, we had brownies.
You know why she did that?
7-layer bars, because she wanted them out of her house.
Out of her house, exactly.
Exactly right.
The best thing to re-gift during the holidays are cookies and sweets.
So after 2 days, I threw them in the garbage.
Yeah,
and my wife's
great.
Like, where are the sweets? I go, yeah. We got to get them out of the house.
Yep, yep. I 100% agree. My wife and I did this exact same thing just this past weekend. We call it purging. You know, you just purge everything.
Right.
Just threw everything in the trash. And
you can't have that stuff at your house if you're trying to get in shape.
What do you mean? Right. Is there something wrong with having a cookie every day, though?
No. You are exactly right.
That's
you have to have balance.
Just, yeah,
you have to have balance. The problem is, during the holidays, it's like an overabundance.
It's a free-for-all.
So it's
great.
It really is.
I'm all or nothing.
Yeah.
I can't just have one cookie. It's 15 or zero.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
kind of how I am. If I sit down to a bag of cookies, I'm in trouble.
And sugar is the devil.
The devil. Yeah.
Sugar turns into fat.
I think most everybody, people that are still listening to this because they're into health and fitness right now, they probably understand and realize that, you know, during the 90s and even the 80s, we talked about cholesterol and fat and like how you shouldn't have any low fat, zero fat, all this stuff. And then come to find out it was everybody that was selling sugar was telling us no fat.
Right.
And it's really sugar. That's the problem.
Sugar is in everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You yeah. name it, you go out to dinner, sugar is in everything.
Yeah. And a lot of people now go on those sugar fasts.
Yep.
Are those good for you to do that? Don't you need a little bit of sugar? You do.
Well, it depends on what kind of sugar. You know, I mean, if you're talking white refined sugar or any type of processed sugar, you don't need it. You need sugar from, you know, you can get sugar from fruits and vegetables. Vegetables have sugar, healthy sugar in them. So I understand what you mean. So when you say sugar, you probably more likely saying carbohydrates. So carbohydrates, you know, complex carbohydrates and carbohydrates from vegetables are the best source of carbohydrates, quote unquote, sugar.
Right. We had Dawn Jackson Blattner in last week. We have you today. We have a life coach tomorrow. We're just
awesome.
Trying to give people one thing to take away.
Yeah.
What would be the one thing that you would give advice to the people listening?
I think one thing is that to know that, you know, when you talk about a New Year's resolution, don't forget about your past. And, you know, everybody wants to change, like, who they are. Today, everybody's saying, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. Like, you've come pretty far. Like, you know, whether you're 20 years old or 30 years old or 40 years old, you've gotten through a lot of crap in your life.
Right.
And be proud of where you came from. And so take that with you into the new year and say, if I can get through what I've gotten through already in my life, I can take on anything coming forward.
You got that, Andy?
I got it. Mental note has been taken.
Do you want to ask him what his New Year's resolution is?
I've been through a lot
is?
Of crap in my life.
We all have.
I have.
That's so true.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mark Beyer, shred415.com. Are you teaching today? Are you doing?
I am. I'm heading out right now. I'm going to teach at Wicker Park.
Okay.
It's an 8:30 class. There's probably no spots available because it's New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to work out before they drink.
I would like to give one little plug to something I have going on coming up. Is
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on January 6th, this weekend. So if you're out there, you're listening to this and you need that kickstart.
Okay.
Okay. January 6th, Sunday at 1 p.m. at Lagunitas Brewing Company. So we are actually going to enjoy ourselves.
I like it. You have
my
attention.
Work out. We're going to work out. You're going to get a beer and you're going to get a brewery tour of Lagunitas for $12. $12, you get the workout, beer, and a tour. And all the proceeds go to benefit iGrow Chicago, which is an awesome organization that I'm on the associate board of on the southwest side, Inglewood, Illinois.
Good for you.
And it's an awesome organization. So all the money's going to go to benefit them. Would love to see you guys out there.
Which is a great facility, by the way. Yeah. I've been there numerous times. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's an Eventbrite link. Just go to Eventbrite and type in Shred415 and you'll find it.
Love it. Mark, it's great to see you.
Good to see you.
Happy
thanks,
New
Pete.
Year, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Andy's,
I appreciate you guys
Andy's
having
doing
me.
Planks right now.
He is.
Mark Beyer, shred415.com. It's 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hemp. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Hamp is always brought to us by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Bears beat the Vikings. They are in the playoffs. Let's welcome in Hall of Famer number 99, the Danimal, Dan Hampton. How happy are you?
Great. And you know what? Hey, happy last day of 2018, or the year of Nagy, as we call it here in Chicago. You have to understand, you know, I used to dread these calls early in the morning having to, talk about the cleanup on aisle 7.
Yep.
And this is truly, it's magnificent. And let me just say this, before we get too far down the road about, you know, the Eagles coming to town, I got to tell you, I talk to people all over the place and I say, you as a owner of a business or a company, a factory, what's your biggest problem? And invariably, they always say, I can't find enough people that want to work. In other words, everybody's gotten lazy. Nobody wants to really do the hard job. But let me tell you something. Yesterday, I will never forget it. And so many people across the NFL expected the Bears to go out, go through the motions, and then everybody's going to come over and, we're going to play the backups and let it happen. Matt Nagy and this team went out there and systematically took apart a Viking team that won 13 games a year ago and was desperately needing to win to get into the playoffs. And it wasn't even close. It was and I made this comment last night, Pete. I said, Thanksgiving, I said, we were a good team. And, we were a good team with the arrow pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. After watching them last night, we're not a good team. We are a great team. And trust me, the Eagles know it, and they don't really want to get on that plane. Trust me, Alshon don't want to come home.
Alshon Jeffrey, former Bear. You know, we've won 9 out of our last 10, Hamp. Is there any team hotter in the NFL?
No. No. In fact, you look around. The Rams were trying to scrape up a little confidence yesterday. The Saints, they mailed it in and were miserable in a home loss. All across the board, you tip your cap to the Cowboys. They went up to the Giants and gutted out a win. But nobody in the NFL has played the month of December like the Bears have. And there's been a lot of statement games. You know, early on, you know, when we had the first game against Minnesota, I said, hey, this is a game, you know, we can make a statement. Boom, we win. Then we had the two against Detroit with the natural, you know, letdown over on Thanksgiving Day with a backup quarterback. Boom, we win that one. We beat the Rams. Then we go up to Minnesota and beat them. It has been magnificent.
I want to ask you about a few things from last night's game. I know that we're all high on the Bears, but there's a few things that I wanted to ask you about. The fourth down call, when the punt team came out there, then they ran off and the offense ran back on the field. Do you like this cutesy stuff from Nagy?
Not really. And, you know, we've been there, done that. It didn't work 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Maybe, you know, we don't need to kind of keep trying to reinvent it. All I know is it doesn't matter if you like it or I like it or the announcers or the Viking fans. Like, hey, the guys on the team, they have bought in. And, again, like I said, when you see Akeem Hicks dominate in the second, third quarter of a game,
yeah,
they don't have to play. This is a guy that's, you know, 28, 29 years old. He, you know, has had issues with an Achilles and this. And he's out there fighting it out like it's, you know, it's a must-win playoff.
Right.
They have bought in. And if Nagy wants to do this, if he wants to bring in a backup middle linebacker to catch a touchdown pass or a two-point conversion pass, if he wants to bring in a 320-pound defensive tackle to play fullback on the goal line, it doesn't matter whether we like it. Apparently, the guys on the team like it, and that's all that matters.
Right. How about Cody Parkey? Are you a little nervous with this guy? Missed another extra points. I mean, there's really nothing you can do before the playoffs. You just have to deal with it.
Well, I think what we have to do is take his helmet and take an orange straw and put it down the middle of it so it looks like there's a pylon in the middle of the goalpost.
Just
and he
line
can
it up. Right.
That's all we need to do. Obviously, he's aiming at a pylon. We didn't know how accurate he was. He's got to start aiming at the invisible pylon down the middle of the goalpost.
Yes, the middle of the goalpost. Now, you were a defensive lineman. Are kickers real football players?
No. No. And you know what? They're kind of like the little sister on the baseball team that shag balls. You know, okay, she's on the team, but not really. I'll tell you this, it's kind of a paradox. You almost treat them like, you know, old laundry until you're down 2 points and there's 3 seconds left in the game, and now you're running over there to pat him on the back, say, you can do it.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I'd hate to be a kicker. I don't know, you know, for whatever reason, half of them are, you know, partially insane. And again, obviously, there's some kind of a mental issue here. You know, we talked about it last night. Maybe, you know, coming back to Soldier Field, you know, I mean, obviously, the conditions yesterday were perfect. There was some talk in the post-game comments about maybe a low snap, a bad hold.
No.
That was a bad kick.
Yeah.
It was a bad kick.
Got
to
aim.
He has got to understand he's getting paid a lot of dough to kick it through the goals, and he just has to go out and do his job.
Hamp, Khalil Mack has had such a great season. Is it overshadowing Roquan Smith's play? This guy is a rookie. How would you grade him this year? I think he's been fantastic.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Roquan Smith, our rookie linebacker. How would you grade him this season?
Well, I'll tell you this. Parsh, you know, the hidden hand of stats, and everybody goes, oh, well, he leads the team in stats. Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's the guy that opponents have basically said, okay, whoever he's covering, we're going to throw it to that guy because he's pretty much been open most of the year. But the last month, just as the offensive line has went from a 5, 5.5 to about an 8.5, 9, where Roquan has went from a 5, 5.5 to about an 8, 8.5. So many players on this team have gotten better. And you know, this is a time of the year a lot of people kind of relax, or the team swoons and it's not as good. a la the Rams, the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
This team has gotten better, and Roquan is indicative of that. Now, he's a darn good player, but make no mistake, Khalil Mack is who we thought he was. He's the best player the Bears have had in 30 years, and he is a catalyst for what we've done. Think about this. One of the, you know, the Vikings have 2,000-yard receivers, and yet they didn't really hurt us. Well, normally when you are able to take the wide receivers away, the tight end will hurt you. And Kyle Rudolph is a Pro Bowl quality tight end. We never heard his name yesterday. You know why? They had him having to worry about chipping on Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
And all those different things that happened under the surface, you know, only lends, you know, to the casual observer, they hear somebody's name, oh, so-and-so on a tackle. They don't realize what Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack have done to make this defense what it is.
God, I'm just so pumped. It is Sunday, 3:40 start at Soldier Field. The Eagles come to town, and Steve will talk to you on Friday. And I think your pregame is on Saturday because we have Northwestern basketball on Sunday. So I think you're here on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll do a pregame show. Obviously, everyone will be, you know, extremely excited about the matchup. But, you know, remember this. 30 years ago, we had a little game called the Fog Bowl against the very same team. So there's going to be so many dynamics.
You know,
Al Sharp, Doug Peterson, and Nagy coaching together. Chris Long coming to Chicago, and Kyle Long now playing again. So it'll be mano a mano, brother on brother. So a lot of really good subplots in this game. But at the end of the day, the Eagles know they've got their work cut out, and they better bring their lunch.
I love it. Dan Hampton. Thank you, Hamp. Steve will talk to you on Friday. Have a great
All
New
right,
Year's.
Guys, go Bears. All Happy right. New Year.
Take care. Dan Hampton brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, our most valuable person on the planet, coming up next. But first, Dave Schwann, what's coming up? Headlines, bottom of the hour. .720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's time for the most valuable person on the planet. There's an organization out there called the Nagawal Foundation that helps children in need with new housing, education, and more. Joining us from the foundation is Sixto Rincon. Thank you for coming in today. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Pete. Thank
Am I pronouncing that correctly? Nagawal.
Nagawal.
That's Nagawal Foundation.
It's come from the indigenous language in Mexico, meaning no child gets left behind in the path of life.
So how does your organization help kids? Where do you find them? Where do you start? Well,
we have an annual gala here the first week of Saturday at the Drury Lane. We've been having it for 15 years.
In December. Okay.
We help out by sponsoring and helping on orphanages in Mexico and halfway houses in Mexico. We help children who come from battered families, from abused families, keep them off drugs and, you know, delinquency.
Right.
You know, try to give them economic development so they can be self-sustainable, you know, stay away from crimes.
How do you find these kids? Do they come to you or do you seek them out?
We go to the orphanages. We go to the halfway houses. And
okay.
Then we have a center outside of Guadalajara called Juanacatlán, the town, where they can come and they can sign up for social services and everything is given free. All the donations that are given to the organization go 100% to the children.
Really?
Yeah.
No child left behind. How did you get involved in it?
I was invited by one of the founders to donate my time, which is obviously very, very important to them.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
It's easy to write out a check and just donate, but to give your time, we go down there. Everybody has to pay their own money, you know, to go see the kids and make sure.
So you pay your own way. You volunteer, then pay your own way down there.
Yeah, because the whole thing about it, obviously, is to make sure that the funds are given and they're used the way they're supposed to. Monitoring an organization is the hardest part.
Good for you. I mean, like you said, most people would just donate money. Here's you volunteering, and you're flying yourself down there to help these kids. So you see it firsthand.
Yes.
How bad is it?
Oh, it's pretty bad. But, you know, but to see the kids, and then they see you year after year, especially in the halfway houses, where sometimes they think people just go to take advantage of the situation, take pictures, and let me see what I can get out of it.
Right.
But once they see you where you're going more often, sometimes we have people to go two or three times a year. We give them birthday parties. We offer them social skills. I mean, computers. We give them trades. in some, because, you know, school's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, we have baking trays, we have sewing trays that we set up within the halfway house from the funds out of the organization to help them.
Sixto, it's all about breaking the pattern, isn't it?
Yes.
And gaining their trust so you can break the pattern.
Yes.
How do you break that pattern?
By going more often.
Really?
By seeing them, by being a part of it, you involve yourself in their economic development and their family values.
Right,
you want to be there for them, and it's a great feeling.
Wow, you're doing God's work, man. You look like a football player. You wouldn't seem like a guy that would volunteer and fly yourself to help orphan kids.
Oh no, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling, Pete. You have no idea. You work, because for the first couple of years we would work and just donate our time. And obviously, I had kids in college. We weren't able to go.
Right.
Some of the other members were able to go. And then when I was finally able to go firsthand and view all the work that everybody, all the volunteers that were giving their time, all the donators giving their money, mm-hmm. and to see firsthand and monitor how these children develop, you can't beat that.
God, good for you. I can see it in your face, man. You're just filled with joy talking about this.
Yes, I am. I feel very strongly about it.
And when you see a kid, how many years have you been doing this?
I've been doing this, the organization, 16 years. I've been doing it for 12.
So 12 years ago, you saw a kid, and now you've seen that kid go through the system and grow up and become something.
Yes.
So you've seen the results of this, and
yes.
It works.
Oh, yes, it does. And sometimes there's a lot of us that give our own money. Some of the kids, because once they turn a certain age, then they're let go. And you keep in contact with them. You know, what do you need? Are you going to school? And that's
right.
Out of just your personal funds, nothing to do with the organization, because you're so involved with the development and you want them to succeed.
Wow.
How
can people get involved? How can they help?
Well, we're at necahual.org.
And spell that for people, yes.
Yes, NECAHUAL.org.
Okay.
And then also our phone number is 708-410-1005. I mean, you can do monetary, you can go online. We're a 501c3 organization, so it's tax deductible.
Right.
And
absolutely.
If you would like to join us at the event, we're already scheduled for December 7th, 2019 at the Drury Lane. We have auctions, we have raffles, music, entertainment.
You need something during the summertime. You got to do it twice a year.
Yeah, we
because people hear this story and they're like, okay, I'm ready to give, but I want to help.
Yeah, we have people who donate during the year, so it's good. Well, it's very time consuming.
God bless you, man.
We have over 600 people go to the event, so it's very, very, very time consuming.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us, Pete.
You do wonderful work.
I appreciate it, Pete. Thank you for having us.
And the number again is 708-410-1005. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Coming up next, we'll do news. It's 720 WGN. Auld Lang Syne. What does that actually mean?
I don't know. I was hoping you could clear it up for me.
We sing it to say goodbye to last year. The words Auld Lang Syne don't sound like English because they're not. Mm. It's Scottish.
Oh.
It was written in Scots, a language spoken in Scotland until the 1700s. The song was written back in 1788. Okay. What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Old long since.
Oh, okay.
So, say goodbye to old friends.
Right.
Or say goodbye to
the old year.
Yes,
thought
the
it
old
meant,
year.
Like, days gone by.
Days gone by.
Out
yes.
with the old, in with the new.
Yes. Out with the old, in with the new, which means tomorrow is New Year's Day, New Year's resolutions. Do we have something to give away? Do we have the, what do we have to give away? 312-981-7200. What is the number one New Year's resolution? If you get that correct, we'll set you up with a nice prize from the prize vault. But first, New Year's resolutions. Let's start with Mary. You have your top three?
Why are we starting with me?
Because Andy's not done yet.
Well, I'm done now.
We're getting to, we have 2 seconds before we're going on the air. I don't have three.
I'm good.
What
I got
do you, mean you don't have three.
Okay.
I've got them.
Mary, what do you have?
Well, let's see. I after listening to our instructor this morning, I need to stretch more because I have no flexibility.
That's
at
one
all.
Of mine.
Yes. My okay. flexibility is really bad. So mm-hmm. I have to stretch. I want to see my friends more.
Okay.
I haven't seen, you know, friends just, they're all over the place and I just want to be in touch.
I like
with
that.
Friends.
Okay.
I have to get my husband out of the house more. Does that count?
Sure.
Because I want to do more fun things.
Right.
So, or travel a little more. So, got to give him a little kick in the pants. Eat better, you know, stuff like that.
I love those. Those are great. Dave Schwann.
Mary had a good one there about seeing your friends more often. I've got a couple friends that I haven't seen in a long time that live close by, and, you know, you get bogged down with work and other things, and you haven't done it. So that was a good one, Mary. My three, of course, everybody's lose weight. If I could lose just 10 pounds and keep it off, I'd be happy. If I could lose 20, that would be fantastic.
That's a huge win.
That would be fantastic. The second one goes right along with losing weight because it involves exercise. I want to get out more outside, outdoor stuff, walk around, check things out, you know, do some more outdoor activities.
Fresh air.
Fresh air, it just is stimulating.
It is good for you.
And then the third one, better money management.
Oh, yeah, we all know. Shoot, I got to put that on my
list. Better budgeting, better saving money, save money. Cash is king.
I want to learn the stock market more. I'm so bad at that.
Put it on the list.
I'd like to take like a finance class.
But they say dumb down the resolution. So, Dave, you want to lose weight, how do you want to do it?
Eating better. And just watching what I eat a little bit better. That's an ongoing process. You know, you can always improve on that. You know, what I loved what your guest said earlier, Pete, about, you know, we kind of beat ourselves up and don't step back and say, you know, we've come far. We've been through a lot of stuff in our lives.
Right.
We've come far. So, you know, you have to look at it maybe more with a positive slant than a negative slant, saying you must do this, you must do that. Don't eat it. Don't eat that. Instead of saying, here's what's good for you, and you will thank yourself for
it. And then just reward yourself every time you go.
I like it.
So move every day, though, Dave.
You got to move your body.
Yep, exactly.
Move your body. Andy, I can't wait to hear these.
Oh, boy.
My number one has been my number one since 2008 when I was bullied into a party situation. Revealing resolutions, which I don't begrudge anybody that has them.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think that January 1st is, you know, the end all be all. You could do it on June 15th.
You can, you know, but let's start one tomorrow.
Okay, my first one is to be taller.
Okay,
Andy.
I don't know how you do that.
I resolve to be taller.
Andy?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I resolve to gain a little weight.
Okay, you're going to gain weight.
I feel like I haven't eaten enough.
Yeah. What else?
And I'll give you one serious one. Control the controllables. Stay in your lane. Worry about your own thing. Take care of what you can take care of, and not worry about everything else.
The great John Wooden, one of probably the greatest college basketball coach of all time. Mm-hmm. What's his greatest quote? When you worry about things beyond your control, it adversely affects the things you can control.
Correct.
So control what you can control.
So control the controllables. I will leave you with that one as a very serious one.
That is a good one.
I think a lot of people
need
to.
That's good for like with your kids. You know, we try to control a lot of things with our kids. At least I still do when my kids are, you know, in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. So you can apply that to everything.
You should. I mean, control, you know, with your kids, stay out of it. Just,
right.
I got to back off. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, my three. At number three, stretch more. That's so funny, Mary. You and I are very similar. You got to stretch.
So I need that 10-minute yoga thing, by the way.
Just go to YouTube and type in 10-minute yoga. Okay. That's what I did. Because I have the attention span of a gnat, so I figured 10 minutes is good.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you make it 10 minutes.
I'm not a big yoga person, so that's it.
Well, I take a break at the beginning and the end, so it works out to be 8.
I'm not doing downward dog more than 2 minutes.
stretch more at number three. Number two, challenge myself to do something out of my comfort zone at least once a month. So that's only 12 times a year. That's realistic.
Okay.
Do something out of my comfort zone.
What would you do out of your comfort zone?
I don't know.
Like jump off a plane? Like what?
Well, I wouldn't do that, but...
What's out of your comfort zone?
There's something out of my comfort zone. I don't know. There's always things that you can do. We all have blinders on. We do the same thing every day. We drive the same way to work.
That's creatures of habit.
Yeah. Find something outside my comfort zone. Like take Pilates. My wife got us couples Pilates for the new year. So we're going to do that. I would have never done that if it wasn't for her. So I'm going to do that with Sarah.
That.
Well, jeez. We'll see how long that lasts. And number one, date nights with my wife.
Oh,
that kind of fell off in 2018. We got to get back on it. Okay? What is the number one New Year's resolution? What do you think it is?
Are you asking us?
Yeah. What do you guys think?
It's got to be get healthy or lose weight.
Yeah.
You would think. Vito, what's your guess?
I say it's losing weight.
It is not losing weight. It is not losing weight. Thank you, Vito. Let's go to Mary on the phone. Mary, number one New Year's resolution.
My guess was eat better, lose weight.
Eat better, lose weight. That is not it. 312-981-7200. I'll give you a hint. We all have it in our hands daily. We all have it in our hands daily. 312-981-7200. You get it correct, we'll set you up with an apt gift card. Remember, you can go to abt.com for more details. Let's find out what's happening in news at the top of the hour. Dave?
What does this song mean? My whole life, I don't know what this song means. I mean, should old acquaintance be forgot? Does that mean that we should forget old acquaintances? It doesn't mean that if we happen to forget them, we should remember them, which is not possible because we already forgot them.
Well, maybe it just means that we should remember that we forgot them or something. Anyway, it's about old friends.
That's nice. Yes. We'll all be singing this tonight when we're hanging out after midnight, right? That's not going to be happening. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, Allstate Skyline Studios. What is the number one New Year's resolution for 2019? That's what we're talking about. Let's go to Karen. Karen, what is it?
Cut down on cell phone use.
Cut down on cell phone use. Decrease screen time. We will accept that. Decrease screen time is the number one New Year's resolution for 2019. As Andy is staring at his phone.
Oh, how am I doing?
Yes.
Am I doing good?
Karen, hold on. We're going to set you up with an apt gift card pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or go online at abt.com and make sure you ask for our good friend Steve Shapiro, okay?
Okay, thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hold on the line. Okay. I want to go to Vito for a second. Vito, what was your guess?
Less screen time.
Less.
Same thing, yeah.
Less screen time.
Put the cell phone down.
Now, what else? What else were you going to say? You had a different answer, didn't you?
Less screen time, less social media.
Less social media is number two. Get off social media. That is number two. Vito, for getting number two correct, we are also going to set you up with an apt gift card, okay?
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Vito. Okay. Remember, ask for Steve Shapiro.
He's the man. Apt.
So, decrease screen time, less social media, read a book a week.
That's another one I had.
Yeah.
I need to read a book sometime. I just end up falling asleep too fast.
That's the problem. It takes me forever to read a book because the only time I can sit down and read is right before bed and you fall asleep.
Exactly.
I've been reading a book now for about a month and a half. It's a great book.
I don't think I've read one all year.
And I want to finish it.
It's so terrible.
What was the last book you read?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I think it was in fourth grade.
What? Cut it out. Living with a Seal by Jesse Itzler. Yeah, I'm reading that right now. He hired a seal that he's living with for 30 days. It's pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, it's comical. It's an easy read. I like those. Spend more time with family at number four. Family, friends, same thing. And number five, learn a new language.
Can I make it my own?
That's too much work.
It is.
But number one, decrease screen time. We got to put our phones down and just have conversations.
Yeah, now the iPhones are telling you each week how much screen time you've been accumulating.
You know, I hear that people can do that. Where do I find that on my phone?
I don't know. It just kind of came up automatically when I got this one. But I'll look at it for you. Tech support is here for you.
Remember, again, in our household, my wife's love, number one, it's our son. Number two, our dog. Number three, it's her phone. And then go down to number 10. That's me.
Okay.
At our house.
Hey, at least you're in the top 10.
Right. Yeah, I hit number 10.
Yeah.
But we got to put down our phones because at bedtime, we're laying in bed and we're both staring at our phones. And then we turn on Ray Donovan.
Well, looking by this way, if you put down your phone, you'll move up to number 9.
Yes.
And you have to put down your book, too, that you're supposed to be reading.
Well, I'm
in your eighth.
Yeah. I got 40 pages left. It's like, come on, I can bang that out in a half hour.
Feed your gerbil that your wife loves more.
No, it's a dog, not a gerbil.
Gerbil.
No, that is not happening.
Well, maybe you're getting one this year. Who knows?
After 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Dean Richards from WGN-TV. And news is next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN-TV, who is writing down his New Year's resolutions.
Pete, I'm not a resolution person.
Come on, Dean.
I'm not.
You and Andy Mazur.
Yeah, see, I told him. My resolution is to be taller, dude.
Yep.
That's it. You don't write anything down. You're perfect.
I'm thinking about starting smoking in 2019.
Oh, Dean. We have children listening. Yes.
Don't do as Uncle Dean does, kids.
Right. Don't do that. I thought of you over the weekend when...
thoughtful.
The Kevin Spacey story came out.
Which one? Which crazy story?
I feel like Kevin Spacey is one of those actors that he feels like everyone hangs on everything he says, and he is above it all.
I think that's how he's trying to position things right now. I mean, I think there's a very definite strategy to his bizarre appearances that he's made over the past week, really, since that weird video came out in which he's playing his character from... He's in the persona of the character that he played on House of Cards, saying, you really don't know me, you really don't know the truth, you really don't know... Which can apply to the plot of House of Cards, but also... very clearly also applies to all of the sexual assault allegations going on in his personal life, for which he will have to face legal proceedings for all of that. But now over the weekend as well, you know, nobody... Was it you? Were we talking about where is he, or was that with somebody
yes,
else?
Yes, you and I were talking about that.
I wonder, is he in France or is he in England? Where is he? Turns out he was in Baltimore. The whole time. He's got a $6 million mansion there. And one photographer found him, you know, stalked him out, found him. And instead of Spacey, you know, hiding, he goes to Domino's, of all places, Domino's Pizza. He buys a pizza for the photographer and brings it to him. I mean, we've been showing photographs all morning of him bringing a pizza to the photog, saying, I know you're just doing your job, keep warm and happy new year, which is, you know, I guess on the surface very pleasant. But what's weird, he's wearing a baseball cap that says retired since 2017, which is when all of the sexual assault and the harassment claims came out.
I'm telling you, I don't like it.
There's nothing funny about that.
No, not at all.
This is not that's not a joke. And I think that his strategy is, you know, to try to take all this lightly with the video that came out last week. Now, the pizza. First of all, if you're going to go get pizza for somebody, go somewhere other than Domino's for pizza. Get them real pizza.
Hey, it's quick, 30 minutes or less.
Two-time Oscar winner, multimillionaire. You spent $10 on a pizza.
Right.
Wow, what a big spender.
It's easy on the app. I've done it.
The retired since 2017 hat is basically saying, I think this whole thing is a joke. I think all these allegations and his own self-imposed seclusion that he's gone into, that he takes it lightly and he thinks it's a joke. I'll bet you the parents of the people that against whom have made allegations against him don't think it's one bit funny.
No, not at all. You know how people in Los Angeles are, especially actors like a Kevin Spacey. They think they're above it all. They're just a strange, weird breed. They're not normal people.
I think for the most part, they are kind of normal people. I think that's a misconception. I think that Spacey is just a strange bird with this. I think that most people would take this pretty seriously. And, you know, with all of the sexual assault allegations that have come out in the last couple of years,
right?
You know, just about everybody has taken it seriously. No one's gotten a hat saying retired since 2017.
Or he'd release a statement, something, with a little empathy. There is zero empathy whatsoever.
I have zero empathy for him on all of this right now.
I agree with you. Remembering the 2018 entertainment deaths, as you look back on 2018,
is there anything more fun to celebrate the New Year's Eve?
But it's
anything
interesting.
Anything more cheery? When you hear somebody doing Here's Who Died, yes. If you see someone doing a segment like that, and believe me, I've been doing it all morning,
mm-hmm.
That means we got nothing. There's nothing going on, and this is
well, you forget who died.
You do.
Right.
You do, and it, you know, brings... We ran... we ran the obituary story that I ran when Aretha Franklin died. And, you know, ultimately, it's very sad she died, of course, but extremely celebratory about her amazing life and her amazing voice and the amazing gift she gave us. So, you know, in that case, we were remembering some of the greats. I'm still very so sad about the great John Mahoney. A Chicago actor, lived in Oak Park. Despite all of his success in the movies and television, never gave up his home in Oak Park. Couldn't wait to come back whenever he wasn't working someplace. Loved doing Chicago theater. Was an ensemble member with Steppenwolf for over 30 years. We lost John last February to a variety of illnesses. Penny Marshall recently, you know, passed away just a couple of weeks ago. Jazz singer Nancy Wilson. Shawnee and I were talking about Nancy Wilson on the show yesterday. The great Roy Clark. Stan Lee from, you know, Marvel comics fame died this year. Burt Reynolds. Anthony Bourdain. Kate Spade.
The Suicides back-to-back.
Avicii, the, you know, the dance mixmaster. Also passed away. Yvonne Staples, talking about Chicagoans. Rachel Rockwell, the famed choreographer and theatrical director in the theater community in Chicago. Mac Miller, the rapper, died this year. So, I mean, this is just a partial list. I know, you know, people have been sending me lists. You forgot to mention blah, blah. There are a lot of people that we didn't mention. It's not out of disrespect. We're just, you know, mentioning a few of the names that are significant. Everyone is significant, but, you know, we're just mentioning a few of the names that come top of mind.
And, Dean, we have a very special...
So send your hate mail to Pete.
Yes, send it to me. I'll take it.
If possible. Pete's taking all my hate mail this week.
We have a very special guest coming up after the break that is going to join you.
Oh. Wonder who that could be.
You'll be appearing with him tonight.
Oh, yeah. See, that fell through.
What do you mean it fell through? You're out? Are you out?
No.
Oh, okay, good. All right, hold on. We're going to take a break and then...
I did get a cold. I don't know if you can tell I've got my WNUA voice on. I'm sounding a little husky today.
I like it. I like the husky Dean.
Yeah, here's Kenny G. All right. Jazzing up your morning.
Coming up, a very special guest.
Even though I'm not feeling 100%, I'm still going to be at... where is it tonight?
Well, hold on. That's the tease. Don't give it away.
I better go get a pencil so I can write it down.
Okay. You better show up.
He'll be there. Don't worry. All right, let's take a look at... well, what's happening at the bottom of the hour first, Shawnee?
You'll be calling his name, oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720. Oh, 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 oh.
720 WGN. Let's go back to Dean Richards from WGN TV. Dean, unfortunately, we can't get a hold of our very special guest.
I can't believe that he wouldn't.
You know what? I am shocked that he didn't pick up his phone, even though we can.
That John DeCoste is so unreliable.
It was Steve Cochran.
Steve Cochran.
Yes. It was Steve Cochran
name
tonight.
Name is familiar. You know what? Honestly. I don't know if Shawnee's by the microphone, because I know when he doesn't do the news, he runs away so he doesn't have to be engaged.
He's coming.
In any way.
He's running back. Yes.
But as we determined yesterday, Steve Cochran and John DeCoste were on my show yesterday. We flushed out how much Shawnee hates Steve Cochran.
Really?
Can't stand him.
Interesting.
And, I have no idea where that came from.
Well,
Steve actually said that we're in counseling together. So.
Couples counseling.
Yeah.
Good for you, too. I hope you work it out.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Shawnee, do you show up tonight for the big comedy show?
I will be here tomorrow morning, although I was pressed into service by someone yesterday to be a chauffeur.
I asked him to drive me out there, but not into the theater.
Driving Mr. Dean.
The car's not clean yet, Dean.
I asked him to drive me out there, but we don't have an extra ticket for him. So
I have to wait in the car.
He has to stay in the car.
And then I have to buy the drinks.
You don't get a plus one, Dean.
And I'm not going to get paid either for this.
But it'll be fun, though. We'll get to hang out on the drive.
Plus, you might catch a cold from Dean.
Right.
I just got over one.
I probably got it from you.
That sounds wonderful.
I probably got it from you.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
And Schwani probably got it from Andy. Andy
no.
was the one with malaria a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was really sick. It was the plague.
Yeah. Andy was the one that
they
started
sent him
all
home during the show.
They kicked me out of the studio.
It's like, Andy, you're sick. Go home.
Not before he came and coughed all over
everybody,
us.
Everybody, yeah.
Oh, gee, Andy, you were laying on your desk in there. I thought, oh my gosh, is he all right?
Yeah, it was fine. Just taking a little nap.
Didn't they send you home?
Oh, they kicked me out. They didn't send me home. They forcibly removed me.
I heard that.
Justin was doing the sports.
Here's what they should have done. A little sports booth, got some duct tape, and just kept him in there. So he wouldn't spread his germs on everyone else.
Dean, you want to plug the show tonight?
Yeah, it's a big show at the Tivoli Theater. I think this is the 18th annual show.
It is, yes.
After 18 years, Steve finally talked me into coming out and being part of the show also. So I'll be there. Comedian Rocky Laporte will be there. John DeCoss. Tim Benker will be there. And just, you know, based on his appearance here on the show this morning, Steve may or may not be there.
You never know.
We're not 100% sure if Steve is going to be there. And if you want a real treat, look out in the parking lot just right next to the theater. That's where Schwani's going to be.
Oh, that's nice. He can't get in. So he's just going to hang out.
I have to go get my uniform first.
Yeah, hang out in the car. I'll bring you a sandwich. I'll make a sandwich from home. You can sit in the car and have a sandwich to toast in the new year.
Eventbrite.com. Just type in Steve Cochran, and it comes up, and you can get tickets there.
Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, because Steve, you know, wanted to find a word that is difficult to spell when you're trying to type it in. Event, B-R-I-T-E, and tickets are still available. So that starts at 7 o'clock, and will be done by 9, so people don't have to be out super late.
And you'll be back downtown at 11.
Because we want to get people home to see the Marx Brothers double feature that we've got to ring in the new year on the WGN TV.
That's right.
That's going to start at 10:30. We're going to have Duck Soup and Horse Feathers, two hilarious good old Marx Brothers comedy. So funny. I've been watching some clips of them, sitting laughing out loud by myself because of the complete wit of these movies. So funny, and kind of a throwback. Back in the day, WGN TV used to do Marx Brothers marathons and you know, things like that to bring in the new year. So we're kind of throwing that back, family classics.
And you are hosting, so you'll be at the comedy show and hosting family classics
and
tonight.
Hosting. I just keep giving on New Year's Eve.
And you are not on tomorrow. You have the day off. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Are you?
Yes, 5 to 9 tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. Let me know how it goes on Wednesday.
Happy New Year. Have fun tonight.
Happy New Year
to
you.
Happy New Year, Dean.
And Andy and to Mary.
Happy New Year, Dean.
And Schwani. I'll see you. What time are you picking me up, Schwani?
I have to get my uniform first. I don't
make
have
him a PB&J for sure.
I want to do this Driving Miss Daisy style.
That would be funny. I would like that on video. And Dean, have a great New Year's. We'll talk soon.
Happy New Year, everybody.
All right. Coming up next, we'll check headlines with Dave on 720 WGN.
Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Do you remember last year?
No, I don't. But you didn't. You didn't stick
I'm gonna
to
it. I'm going to do a lot of souping.
Souping?
That is the new trend, souping.
Oh, you just have soup?
You have soup.
Okay.
What is yours?
Not to get suspended.
That's
I might get through a whole year. I don't know if that's possible.
New Year's Eve tonight, which means one thing here in Chicago. Jenna Davies and Mark Giangreco will kiss at midnight on ABC7. You can see them both tonight starting at 11 o'clock in the city's longest-running local New Year's Eve show on ABC7. It's our old friend, Janet Davies.
Hi, Pete.
I think people expect that, you and Mark, to kiss at midnight now.
Oh, yes, we kiss. We call each other work spouses.
Work spouses. He's your work husband. I like that. Janet, I've hosted New Year's Eve parties before. They get a little crazy. How many years has this been for you?
27.
27 years?
Yes. 27. Wow. This is my 27th.
Okay.
Yes. In all the 18 with Mark. Mark started in 2001.
Okay, in all the years of hosting, can I get a yes or no for these? Can I ask you these questions?
Sure.
Number one, have you seen someone puke?
Oh, yes.
Okay, number two, have you seen someone naked?
Partially.
Okay, have you seen a couple...
completely, but partially.
Have you seen a couple get very hot and heavy?
Oh, all the time.
And have you seen Mark Giangreco bare-chested at midnight?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Not at midnight, a little bit before.
The longest running local New Year's Eve show in Chicago history. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I guess so. It started out on Lake Michigan on the Odyssey, and I did that with James Ward. He used to be our food critic, and we had a half an hour, and it was just basically, "Hi, how are you? We're out here on Lake Michigan, and here are the fireworks. Goodbye, Happy New Year." That's
right.
It. That was the first one, and it was so cold. We took our camera outside, and the cameraman forgot when you go from a very warm boat outside to very cold Lake Michigan, your camera fogs up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
At the beginning, we were pretty blurry.
Oh, my gosh. So things have changed over the last 18, 27 years.
Yes, we have multiple locations, multiple people helping us out. It's a very slick show, I think, and it's a great show this year.
And Janet, where are you going to be in Oak Brook?
We're at the Oak Brook Hilton this year, Mark and I. There's a big Rat Pack Dean Martin thing going on, and we have Liz Nagy out in Whiting, Indiana for the pierogi drop.
Okay.
We have.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yes.
First of all, how did you snag Liz Nagy?
How did we snag her, you mean, for New Year's?
How did you get her on ABC 7?
She was hired because she was very good. She came from Florida, and she had an impressive resume tape.
And she's going to be covering the pierogi drop. You're dropping a giant pierogi, is that right?
Well, Whiting, Indiana people are dropping a giant pierogi. That's what they do. You know, that's the home of the pierogi fest each year.
Well, I didn't know that they'd be dropping a pierogi at midnight. So how big is this pierogi? They're lifting it with a crane, right?
Yes, it's a very big one. And what I'm not sure of is what kind of pierogi. I know what pierogi flavor I like. I happen to like mushroom and sauerkraut in my pierogies.
Oh, okay.
I'm a tangy person, not a sweet pierogi person.
All right. So we don't know the flavor of the pierogi that's going to be dropped at midnight in Whiting, Indiana.
No idea. It could be filled with like many dozens and dozens and dozens of little pierogies. I don't know.
I feel like I need to drive out to Whiting, Indiana to see the pierogi drop.
No, you just need to watch it.
Oh, yeah, I can watch it on TV on ABC 7. That's right.
That's correct.
How do you pick out your dress for tonight?
Well, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm wearing pants tonight. Sometimes I wear a dress. Sometimes I wear pants.
Okay.
It's a pantsuit. Very, how do I pick it out? That's interesting.
I mean, do you have to coordinate?
Last minute, I will say that.
Do you coordinate with Mark? I'm serious.
The same thing every year.
Does he? He owns that tux that he bought 25 years ago.
I think it's 30, but yes, okay. He wears the same thing. He'll look sharp. He will look great. He always looks very handsome. I have a little surprise for him at the end of the show. So if you all are watching and stay tuned, you will see this little thing I've done that Mark will always be a part of me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I look forward to that tonight.
Yes. He doesn't even know.
And people can still get tickets if they want to go to the Hilton at Oak Brook, right?
Mm-hmm. They can. I guess they can call up to the Hilton or go online, actually, to their website and get the tickets. It's supposed to be spectacular, and you have to watch how we arrive. If you're watching tonight, I hope everyone does, we have an interesting arrival. You know, last year we arrived with one of Mark's cars, and it's convertible, one of his antique cars, and it was cold. And
of course,
came in a muscle shirt and shorts, and, of course, I had my fluffiest parka on.
Right, of course. So that's the big, you got to have to look for the big entrance tonight at 11 o'clock.
Big entrance. And then we're going to have fun because we're going to be all over.
Right. You'll be sending it everywhere, including the pierogi drop in Whiting, Indiana.
I got to
DVR that. We got to get up tomorrow. We're on the air at 5 a.m., so I'll be DVRing.
Oh, I will be getting home.
Of course. Janet, great to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Pete, and everybody there on your show.
You're the best. We'll talk soon.
What's your resolution?
My resolution is number one is to have more date nights with my wife.
Nice.
But one of my resolutions is to challenge myself once a month. Get out of my comfort zone.
That's good, too. Absolutely. Mine is to volunteer more. I slipped this year, and I didn't volunteer as much as I used to. So I'm going to volunteer this year. Oh, my soup is boiling over. Uh-oh, I better go get that.
All right, have a great day.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye-bye.
That's pretty funny. Her soup is boiling, and that was her resolution to do more souping in 2018. She ran with it, and it worked. tonight on ABC7. They do make out at, you know, midnight.
Yeah, I remember that being all the rage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's very funny. Janet Davies has been doing it forever. All right, let's find out what's happening in headlines or at news, top of the hour. Dave? WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're on the 18th floor here at 303 Wacker, looking out the window. What a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just
need a foghorn out there.
Wow, it is foggy.
Can't
rainy.
See a thing. Yeah, it's nasty.
Depressing.
Reminds me of one of my favorite lines from the movie Airplane. The fog is getting thicker and Leon's getting larger.
Oh, I want to see that movie again. It's such a great movie.
I love the old classics.
Oh, man.
I do.
Good stuff.
Maybe tonight, that's what you do. You stay
there
home, you watch a movie after the Northwestern game.
There you go.
25% of you listening right now will stay home tonight, which is fine.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Doesn't make you bad people.
Yeah. 33% of you listening won't even make it to midnight.
Again, doesn't make you a bad person. Mm-hmm.
No one talking on this show will make it to midnight tonight.
Nope.
I don't think so, which is fine. It's okay.
You can celebrate midnight at 10 o'clock. What's the difference?
Celebrate at Holiday Bowl style, you know?
Yeah. What time is the game over? It starts at 6, usually 3.5, 4 hours?
3.5, 4 hours, yeah. Be over about 10.
10 o'clock, so I have to stay up till 10? 3:30 wake up?
Yeah, more than likely.
Whew, that's a quick turnaround right here. We talked about the in Whiting, Indiana, they have a pierogi drop at midnight, and a crane will drop it. Does the pierogi fall apart? I wonder what it's made of.
It's got to have some special sauce in there.
It's got to have some food in there. This is from 630 area code. Sister Bay in Door County does a cherry drop at midnight. Okay, I like that. Instead of the ball drop, the pierogi, the cherry drop. Is that cherry pie, or is it just a bunch of cherries?
I would think it'd be a big cherry. It's probably like a balloon or something.
Door County is known for their cherry crop during the summertime.
There you go.
Okay. If you're thinking about New Year's resolutions right now, we went over the top ones earlier. Decrease screen time at number one. Take a break from social media. Read a book a week, which is tough for a lot of people. Especially if you haven't been reading on a regular basis. Spend more time with family. Learn a new language. How about drink more water?
I thought you were going to say wine. Like, okay.
Yes, drink more wine, Mary. Make a career change.
Ooh.
Okay. Get rid of house clutter.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Not happening.
My wife is very type A. We're already cleaning the house. We're already purging right now. Let's go through our closets on New Year's Day.
God,
that's
clean.
Her thing.
Yeah, the sock drawer, gotta go.
Let's go through our closets. There is nothing that I would never want to do. Clean closets. That's not fun to me.
Well, you do the switchover twice a year?
What's
you
know, the switchover where?
Spring cleaning in the winter.
Spring and you got to change into the, you know, winter clothes.
Got to have room in your closet.
Where do you move these?
I don't have enough. I put them in big Rubbermaids and I store them somewhere else.
No.
You chuck them.
I don't have enough room in my closet.
I don't have any organization whatsoever. Pants are everywhere. Shirts are everywhere. Nothing is organized in my closet, but I know exactly where to find it.
Yeah, it's easy for guys. I mean, women have to do the shoe switchover. We have to do the purse switchover. You know, you got to change purses with the season.
So you take the clothes and you put them in Tupperware and you put them where? In a second
closet
bedroom?
Shelf. No, somewhere. Yeah, some go, you know, under a bed or
above. I was going to say, I have those little things you can put clothes in and shove them under your bed.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, Andy, you're not doing the
changeover. Once in a while I do, just because I've got a lot of pullovers that I wear, like you're wearing right now, and they take up a lot of room in the closet.
Yeah, sweaters are big and bulky, and you don't. What are you going to do with them in the summer? You have to put them away.
I have never done the switchover ever, and I wouldn't even know where to put them.
You must have a big closet.
I got some ideas for you.
Okay, the switchover. Think about that.
The switchover.
I don't know. I don't want to do the switchover. I just want to leave as is. I'm very content with my closet.
Then you know what you have. You know, you can see the stuff of the season.
I can see it. It's right in front of me.
You must have big closets.
And then you can go buy more clothes.
When I open the closet.
Don't you have the rule, buy one, get rid of one?
I sometimes shop in my closet because you forget about clothes.
Oh,
like
still
this thing
on.
I'm wearing today, this three-quarter thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't worn it in a while. I found it yesterday.
Yeah.
See?
It's fun. I felt like I went shopping.
It's good.
It looked almost new.
And if you haven't worn something in, what, 5 years, you should get rid of it.
I thought it was 1 year.
1 year? No
I thought it was
way.
2 weeks.
I thought it was one and done.
I have stuff I still wear years ago. It's really awful.
I have T-shirts from like 10 years
ago. Well, that's nasty. You need to throw those away.
What do you mean? They're in perfectly good shape.
Oh, come on. How can they be? After 10 years of washing, or don't you ever wash them?
Well, of course you wash them.
You have to wash them.
My vintage Rolling Stone T-shirt I cannot get rid of. Please.
Oh, I thought you meant like white T-shirts. Like,
oh, no. Yeah. I rotate those in and out. That's a rotation
right
there.
Yeah, I have old, you know, radio T-shirts and things like that.
Okay. All right. Do you do
never
the switcheroo?
No. They stay like in a drawer I never use somewhere.
The never used drawer.
One of the kids who left the house, you know, one of their rooms or something.
Okay.
The switcheroo.
The switcheroo and the never used
the switch
drawer.
The switch over.
Sounds like an episode
the
of Scooby Doo.
Andre and I always did the switch over together. It was seasonal thing.
I don't understand that. Mm. I just keep it all in your closet. You open the door, you see the clothes.
You must have a real big closet.
Yeah.
Not
I don't
really
have enough room.
I mean, it's fine.
I share with my husband. I don't have enough room. And I'm, you know, he won't do the switchover, but I do.
Because guys don't really have that much stuff.
They don't have as much stuff.
Yeah, we got three pairs of jeans.
I've got a lot of stuff.
Do you got a lot of stuff?
I've accumulated a lot of free stuff.
You got to get rid of it.
Do you have the skinny pants and the fat pants?
No. I just have the
everyday
pants.
I have a pair of fat pants on the very left side of my closet,
yes.
Knowing that I don't want to go there. Yeah.
Not called your lounge pants.
Yes. The expandable waist.
The Al Bundy pants.
Sansa belt.
All the coaches used to wear those high school coaches back in the day.
Yeah, the coach's shorts.
Yes, the coach's shorts. The black ones.
Nasty.
Who made those? What was the brand? Bike? B-Y-K-E? Wasn't it?
No, I think it was just B-I-K-E. Wasn't
B-I-K-E?
It?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
New Year's resolutions, the switchover in the closet,
there
according to Mary. How about make a new friend? Got enough friends.
I'm too busy. I can't keep track of my old ones.
You're right. Quit smoking? Has anyone said that this morning?
No.
No. I think a texter did, actually.
Quit smoking. You got to quit. Yeah, that's good. And find a relationship. Think about that. New Year's resolutions. Give it some thought. It's Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in the Allstate Skyline Studios. News is next on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up next, we have a new restaurant downtown. We'll have the restaurant owner in studio who is wearing a peach shirt today. I don't know if you can see Ryan through the glass.
Is that peach or is that
coral? Isn't that the same thing?
I have no idea. Maybe wanted to show off.
So if you have a peach shirt and a coral shirt, do you do the switch over with the peach shirt?
It depends on what season it is.
Well,
because you can't wear... I guess you can wear coral anytime.
Coral is a big color now, actually.
And really?
It's... What is that big color they call every year, you know, that comes out? And that's like a coral.
I think they call it
the big
color.
It's
called orange. No, peach
is called orange,
summery.
Where I'm from.
Peach has to go in the summer Rubbermaid.
Or is it salmon? Maybe it's salmon.
The summer Rubbermaid. I'm going to have to take notes. After the show, can we sit down for 5 minutes and tell me the old switcheroo and how I do this?
All white sweaters got to go in there.
This is so funny to me.
Flip-flops, shoes,
the
gotta
switchover.
Go in there.
I love how it became the switcheroo.
The switcheroo. I like the switcheroo better.
I like that.
Well, you keep that one. I'm going with the switchover.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. I'm losing my voice. The weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn as we welcome in CLTV. Here's Dave with the news. We are live on CLTV and 720 WGN in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Very foggy outside. Happy New Year's Eve to everyone listening right now. Chicago is all about food and all about its people. Our next guest has been in the restaurant business forever and just opened a new place downtown at State and Walton called Walton Street. It's our old buddy, Ryan O'Donnell. It's good to see you.
You too, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
How would you describe that shirt for our CLTV viewers? Is that coral or orange?
You know, I think maybe you were spot on with the coral.
Yeah.
Coral?
Coral. Yeah. Salmon.
Andy said that. Coral's not even in my vocabulary.
It could be a salmon, a shade of salmon also.
Okay. Can you move a little closer to the microphone? There you go.
There we go.
Walton Street. Is this your third restaurant?
This is my third restaurant, yes.
Okay. Cota de Volpe on Southport. That's where we originally met.
Correct.
In Lincoln Park.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's Lakeview, actually, Pete.
Okay, Lakeview. It's near Wrigleyville.
Yeah, but, you know, West Lakeview.
Okay.
Lincoln Park. Anyway, yeah, Gemini, though, is in Lincoln Park.
Yes.
And that's at Lincoln and Dickens. That was my first restaurant. We opened about 9 years ago in 2009.
I mean, it's so hard to own one restaurant, let alone three.
Correct. Yeah, it's it can be challenging at times, but fortunately we've hired the right people to
that's the key
to give us the support and
you got to have good people, don't
the
you?
Longevity of them and been able to free me up to do other things.
What's the number one thing people want in a restaurant? Is it food or service?
You know, that's the ultimate question that never ever gets a similar answer. Everyone answers that differently. So I kind of like to answer that with a different answer. So I'm not going to answer your question with the options you gave me, but I would say the experience is what people are looking for.
The experience.
Which includes both.
Okay.
And because ambiance is a big part of it.
It's a big deal.
Decor, design, feel, all that stuff people are looking for also. So it's not always just food service. It's also the ambiance. So
I find with restaurant owners in this city, most of them are hands-on, which means you're bussing tables if you see dirty dishes on tables, or you're pouring water for people, too.
Pouring water, bussing tables, running food, seating guests, answering phones.
You're doing it all. Did you grow up? Were you a waiter?
I was never a waiter, per se. I was a busboy. First job I ever had, I was 14 at the Woody Creek Tavern outside Aspen in Woody Creek, Colorado.
Really?
Yeah. So that was the first job I ever had in the restaurant.
Wow.
And I did that for 2 summers in a row.
You've come a long way.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You're big time now, which I love.
Not as big time as my partner, Billy Lawless, over there, but who introduced us.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
I've known Billy forever.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows Billy in this town.
Of course. He's a legend.
He is a legend, isn't he? The building that you're in, there was an article in Cranes. Tell me about this building at Walton and State. It's a brand new high-rise.
Yeah, so the developer of the building is a gentleman by the name of Jim Lechinger, who is a longtime regular of Gemini. His wife, his kids have been coming in there for the last 9 years, and his friends and kind of his whole circle of friends have been going to Gemini for a long time. And he lived in the Waldorf right across the street and saw an empty lot that he used to look down on, and he wanted to develop a building. So he wanted, you know, a high-end luxury condominium, which feels like a vertical neighborhood.
Right.
And so that's kind of what he was going for. He wants a restaurant. You have a vertical neighborhood, you need a restaurant, right? So he wanted a neighborhood-feeling restaurant in the building. And he approached me last year, and we made a deal. And
so here's a guy that has just been bringing his family to your restaurant for 8 or 9 years, and one day he says, hey, I'm going to build a high-rise downtown. You want to put a restaurant in?
Pretty much. Pretty much how it happened.
That is so Chicago.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a high-rise that's going up.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah. And
can we go into business together?
I never had any interest in going down to the Gold Coast, but Jim and I put together a deal that the numbers made sense. So.
But this building, billionaire Ken Griffin bought the top 4 floors.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, actually. The building used to be 35 stories. And then when Ken was interested, he wanted 4 floors. Jim had to go back into the city. I don't know all the details, but he had to go back and get a variance on the height of the building. And he added another 4 floors to the building. So it's now 39 stories.
When a billionaire says, hey, I want the top 4 floors, you go back to the city and whatever it takes, you're going to build them.
Yep. He's doing a pool up there. He's got his own elevator. So it's nice. It's a great building. It's very high end, but it's also very neighborhoody. The people who live there support the restaurant a lot. And
well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because years ago, there wasn't anywhere to eat in that area.
Yeah, there's a lot now, but yeah, I mean, I guess back in the day, Gibson
struggled. There was nothing.
Yeah.
You had Potash Grocery Store right down the street. That was about it.
Yep. Yep. Neighborhood's changed a lot, and it's good to be there. It is a neighborhood, even though it's down in the Gold Coast. It's kind of got its own pocket there. So.
Well, if you live in the city, you're all about your two or three blocks right next to you. It's all about the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yep.
Andy, you can relate to that. You live in the city.
I do live in the city.
You get it.
I get it.
Yeah. Walton Street. How do you come up with the name, first of all, because it's Walton Street? But how do you come up with the dishes?
With the dishes?
Yes, the
of
plates.
The menu?
Yes, the menu. How do you come up with this?
Well, Jim kind of wanted me to do Gemini there. So we did a neighborhood American bistro menu, and my chef of Walton Street actually at one point in time was the chef of Gemini for 3 years. So he was familiar with kind of how I operate, what I'm looking for, as far as, you know, the approachability of the menu. And we had to make some adjustments after opening, but...
Well, you always do if you're a restaurant owner.
Yeah. It took a little bit to get the pulse and the likes and dislikes of the neighborhood. But
so you have three restaurants. Is it different in every area?
For sure. Lakeview and Lincoln Park are fairly similar, but even those two are different. And then Lincoln Park is more similar to the Gold Coast. So Lakeview and Gold Coast are like fairly opposite.
Really?
And then Lincoln Park's kind of got a little bit of both of them.
What are they like in the Gold Coast? What are they like in Lincoln Park?
What do they like or what are they like?
I guess a little bit of both. Chicago loves its meat.
Chicago loves its meat, and, you know, we definitely were going the anti-steakhouse route at Walton Street. You know, being a neighborhood restaurant, we wanted to have a little bit more healthy options, a lot of fish. We have a rotisserie in the kitchen where we do spit-roasted chicken and pork rack, so we do pork chop. And
so what does that mean? There's always meat just kind of...
Yeah.
Rotisserie,
pretty
you know,
much,
just spinning
pretty
all
much,
day long.
Yeah, we have a one-way mirror that you can see from the private room, and the rotisserie's right there. It's kind of a showpiece. So
nice.
That's kind of cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are you a meat guy, fish guy?
I'm kind of all of above.
Okay.
If you haven't noticed. Yeah.
Right.
I don't really discriminate when it comes to food. You know what I don't like is blue cheese and olives. Those are about two things I don't like.
How do you not like olives?
I don't know. Some the mild ones... The mild, real salty ones are pretty good.
Okay.
I can do those. The Chris Thompson over at Coda Volpe uses a Castelvetrano, which is kind of a mild green olive. I don't mind those.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's restaurant talk. What's the feature on the Walton Street? You guys have a certain menu for tonight for New Year's Eve.
We have a certain menu over there. It's available a la carte. It's also, we're doing a prefix, five-course prefix tonight. Still some slots left open, I think, but it's going to be exciting tonight. What I brought today is one of our lunch favorites is a chopped Chinese chicken salad, and then over here on my right is a daily double. In the daily double, you could get a cup of soup or side salad, and this is a caprese toast, which...
caprese or caprese?
You know, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. I like to say caprese.
Okay.
Avocado pesto, heirloom tomato, buffalo mozzarella.
See, I would eat all of that. Andy, you're looking at it. Would you eat this stuff?
I would eat the Chinese chicken salad.
Yeah, Andy doesn't like fish.
I'm not a fish
person. Not a fish guy. He's not a shellfish guy.
How do you not like fish?
Hey.
It doesn't really taste like anything unless it's, you know, they have the flavor.
It was a traumatic childhood experience.
He found some bones. His house smelled like fish.
The house always smells like fish.
I have always heard that if a chef has specials, you always order the specials because that chef is going to give it extra love. Is that true?
Hopefully your chef is giving all of his food love, but I would agree that going the special route, is usually the way to go unless you know you're never going to visit that restaurant again.
Okay.
So like if you're going to a city, you're probably not going back to, and you're going to a restaurant that is known for certain things.
Right.
You probably stick to those things because you're probably never coming back. So you want to get what their classics per se. If you're going to a restaurant that you're going to go to next month or next week, or you know, go with the specials because you always have the opportunity to get other things that are going to be on the menu.
Chefs are artists, aren't they?
They can be,
and they have huge egos.
Some of them. Some of them do. It's changing nowadays. The big ego is somewhat of a thing of the past. Nowadays, they can't, flex their muscles too much. They get checked.
Do you watch the cooking shows like all of us?
I don't watch any of them, actually.
Because you're around it 24/7.
It's like the last thing I would ever put on when I'm home is a show about
because
kitchen,
it's like work.
Cooking, or restaurants. Yeah.
Right. Do you cook?
I do. Yeah, I went to culinary school about 20 years ago at Kendall College when it was up on the Northwestern campus. So it was in Evanston at the time.
Okay.
Now it's down on Halstead, Chicago. But
so you can talk the talk.
I can speak the language fairly well.
Okay.
And it's nice to have that because I can go in the kitchen, talk with the chefs, do menu development, and they, most of the times listen and respect what I'm saying. And so it's a big plus to be able to have both sides of the operation.
So after today's show, the whole group will sit down and we'll talk about tomorrow's show. Do you guys do that? Do you guys sit around and say, okay, we're going to do this as a special tomorrow? Do you sit with the chef? How does that work?
We do that more on a weekly basis.
Okay.
And there's daily recaps at the end of the night that it's called a manager log. So the closing manager and the closing chef all type up what happened that night. And then in the morning, we all receive the financials and the manager log that happened the day before. So we do recaps and manager meetings where we all sit down together, happen once a week.
It's so interesting because I could never be in the restaurant business because, number one, people complaining all the time. People love to complain.
Yeah, but
they love to complain.
They
would drive me crazy.
They do, and some of it's good feedback, and you got to be able to filter what needs to be heard and, be able to shrug off what needs to be shrugged off, and sometimes,
Do you get that guy that walks in and says, I love tonight's special, but here's how you could make it better?
We get them very often.
I'm sure you do.
I think you'd be great in the restaurant business, actually.
Really?
Yeah, you just put you up at the front door.
I could be a great host.
You love to talk. You'd be
great. I could.
You can manage the floor, check in on tables.
Oh, yeah, checking in. Yeah. I can do that,
You can do that.
I would love to do that.
It's called touching tables. You can touch the tables.
Oh, yeah, I can touch hearts, too. I really can.
Just don't touch their food. Okay?
Right. Don't touch my food. You can touch the tables. You should do a charity thing, a celebrity thing, and we could all stop by Walton Street.
A charity celebrity thing?
Yeah.
Who's a celebrity?
I mean, you can. We'll get Lou Kanellis. How's that? And then I'll show up.
Actually, Lou's been in the restaurant a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been to his place?
I haven't yet. The Greek place over in Lincoln Park. Avli, I think
Avli,
it is. Yeah. No. I want to check it out.
Yeah, it's good.
I've heard good things.
Yeah. Small plates. Yeah.
Well, you're Greek, even though you got McMurray, right?
I'm Lebanese. It's the same food, all Mediterranean, and we're all sweating and growing hair everywhere.
Wow.
It's true.
Okay.
It really is true. But this has become such a food city, and the fact that you have now three restaurants, you know how to do it, and you know how to make good food.
Yeah, every day is a new challenge. We do, take a lot of pride in what we do and feel, our food is great, and it's a lot of fun.
And where can people check out Walton Street? What's the website?
WaltonStreetChicago.com.
And right on the corner of Walton and State. You
Walton
can't miss
and State.
It.
No, you can't miss it.
I love it. Ryan O'Donnell, it's good to see you, man.
You too, Pete. Thanks
for having me. And tell Billy I said hello.
I will let him know.
All right. It's 720 WGN and live on CLTV.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
McMurray in for Steve Cochran in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're all very excited about the big bowl game tonight. The Holiday Bowl is tonight at 6 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Northwestern taking on Utah. The pregame, Andy, starts at what time?
Expanded coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. The kickoff with Dave Ennett and Ted Albrecht at 6 p.m. here on WGN.
Joining us from San Diego, he'll be doing play-by-play for the game. It's our own Dave Ennett. How are you, buddy?
Good, Pete. Andy, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Dave and I were texting yesterday. I was texting him about how Notre Dame got just beat up on Saturday, and your response was, do you remember?
Well, I texted a lot yesterday. Let's put it that way. It was probably, hope we don't see that in this bowl game here, which I really don't think we would. I think this has the makings of a very close game.
Your response was, there's no way that's going to happen with Northwestern.
Yeah, I think that's what I said, yeah. No way that happens here.
Coach Whittingham from Utah, you said it last week, he's 11-1 in bowl games.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty impressive.
I mean, it's very impressive. They have a great bowl record, and that's something I don't think you can just look at it and say, well, that doesn't really have any bearing because that was last year and this is this year. He's figured out a formula to win bowl games. Now, having said that, if you look over the course of time at Northwestern's bowl history, which is actually most of it has occurred in the past 23 years, going back to the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day 1996, even though it took them a while to get that second bowl win ever in school history, and that was the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day in 2013 over Mississippi State, they were very close to winning a whole bunch of those games in between. They lost back-to-back overtime games under Coach Fitzgerald in 08 and 09. They lost to Missouri in overtime in the Alamo Bowl. The following year, they lost to Auburn in overtime in the Outback Bowl, and they just couldn't quite get over the hump. But now they come in here, and they've won three of their last four bowl games. So I think both teams have kind of hit on a way to get postseason wins.
It's amazing to me, Dave, to think about the impact that Pat Fitzgerald has had on this program, not just as a head coach, but you know, as a player and also as an assistant. It's mind-boggling to think that 15 bowl games all time at Northwestern, he's been involved in one way or another in 13 of them.
Yeah, it really is remarkable, Andy. The only one's the 1949 Rose Bowl. He wasn't part of that one. And then the Alamo Bowl in 2000 when they won the Big Ten championship for the third time in a span of, what, 5-6 years. He was on the coaching. He was not on the coaching staff for that. He came a year later and joined Randy Walker's staff as an assistant coach. So those are the only two that he had no part in whatsoever. And it's also really remarkable. You look at this program getting 10 wins three times recently. He's been a part of every 10-win season that Northwestern has had, either as a player or as a coach. And, you know, now he's taken a bowl game, and he's taken a team to a bowl game again, a chance to win three straight bowl games for the first time in school history. There are just so many firsts that he's been a part of. It's really remarkable.
Good for him. We're talking with Dave Ennett, who is in San Diego now. The team's been out there since what, Wednesday night, Thursday?
Yeah, they came out on Christmas Day.
Oh, they came out on Christmas Day. We had Coach Fitz on Thursday when you were in the studio.
Yes, yeah. So they've been out here a day or two. I think they had already had one practice under their belt when they were out here. They've been out since Tuesday, yeah. So the days are starting to run together.
Well, here's my question, Dave, because, you know, they're college students. How do you keep these kids focused? Because you want to go out and explore. So, of course, there's curfews, but you give them some of their alone time. How do you keep them focused for 5 or 6 days when they're in a different city? But I guess maybe because they've been through it before, some of the players have been through it?
Well, I think that's part of it, Pete. I also think that it's somewhat structured. There are certain activities which they are expected and want to attend, quite frankly, as a team. I mean, they do things like they went to an aircraft carrier right across the water from our hotel here. They went to SeaWorld the other day, so they have they have certain things that are planned for them. Morning, Coach. And you know, so they're planning to, you know, they keep together the things as a team. Now, some bowl games there are more of those activities than others. I mean, some of the bowl games, literally, it's you get done with practice and now you're getting on a motor coach and you're going to here, you're going to this museum, you're going to this beach party, you're going, you know, last year in Nashville they had the country music line dance lesson or competition for the players. So every bowl does it a little bit differently, and here I think they do have a lot of free time, but I think that's allowed them to go, you know, kind of explore a little bit. I think that the coaching staff has really good, they have a high level of confidence in these guys to make good decisions, to do the right things, to stay out of trouble. And I think if you look over the history of Northwestern's bowl experiences, guys have understood that they've understood what's expected. I remember when Fitz was a player, and we were staying, we were out for 2 weeks in Southern California for the Rose Bowl because Northwestern didn't have an indoor practice facility at the time, and the dorms were closed. So they packed up the players and took them to Newport Beach, put them up there for a week, and they practiced at like Cal Irvine, I think. And I remember talking to one of the hotel shuttle bus drivers who had taken a bunch of players out in the evening, and he'd been doing this with Rose Bowl participating teams for years, and he said these guys were the best behaved, most polite, and that's always a recurring theme, I think, with the teams I've been around, and that's going back a few years, that these guys understand what's expected of them. The other thing to keep in mind is a lot of their families are here, too.
Right,
I mean, most of them, they have their parents, they have their siblings, they have their girlfriends. So I mean, they're spending time hanging out with their families as well.
Right. Okay.
Dave, what do we know about this Utah team? I mean, it comes in at 9-4 and with a lot of hype and a lot of accolades around it. What do we know about them?
Well, and accolades that are well-deserved, Andy. I think if you look at what they've done, I think there are a lot of similarities, really, between these teams, both in terms of the style of play and in terms of accomplishment, because both of these teams played for their conference championships and a trip to the Rose Bowl this year, and both lost to the teams that will be playing tomorrow in Pasadena. So the Utah Utes lost to Washington in the Pac-12 championship game the night before the Wildcats lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. I think that when I've watched Utah, they kind of remind me, at least their defense reminds me of Iowa's. They're very hard to run the ball against. They get after it. Their front seven is really good, and they're very stingy in terms of yards allowed, in terms of especially on the ground, in terms of points allowed. But Northwestern's the same way. Northwestern's been very tough to run against all year. Their quarterback situation is a little bit iffy going into this game. Their starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley, suffered a broken collarbone and missed the final four games of the season, forcing them to go to a redshirt freshman by the name of Jason Shelley. They still ended up winning three of those four games. Huntley has been practicing. Whether or not or how much he plays in this game tonight is still, I think, a question mark. Because he's not yet, to our knowledge, and as of yesterday from what Coach Kyle Whittingham told us at a news conference, had not yet been cleared for a contact. So I think most people around the Utah program are expecting Huntley to play today, but they've also lost their leading rusher to injury for the season. They lost their leading receiver, and both all Pac-12 guys to injury in their last game, and also great kick returner, all Pac-12 kick returner. So they've had some injuries, but Northwestern's got some injuries defensively. They're going to be without some guys. So, you know, maybe that'll kind of balance out a little bit.
The Holiday Bowl tonight at 6 o'clock, pregame starting at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, you're the best, buddy. We'll be listening this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. Good being with you. I'm going to get back in the pool now.
No, I'm not.
It's actually cold. Actually, there is a forecast for some rain during the game. So,
you're the best. We'll be listening. Thanks, Dave.
See you, Dave.
All right, buddy. Thanks. See you, guys.
Again,
thanks,
the pregame is 5 o'clock in the game, the Holiday Bowl, Northwestern taking on Utah tonight at 6. All right, it's 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Coming up, the stories that matter with Andrea Darlis from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. But first, let's bring in the host of this show, Steve Cochran. We couldn't get a hold of you earlier when we had Dean on. He was very excited about tonight's show.
Well, I apologize. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're offloading the monkeys for tonight's monkey act.
Wait a second.
And it's a little noisy here. Sorry about that.
Do you have a permit for that?
And I was listening to the show. I got up at 6:30. I'm listening to the show. I'm excited. And then I dozed off just before you called. So I apologize. I apologize. I'm
that
sorry
must have been
that.
What you're talking about, our resolutions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize. Hi, man.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good, good. Give Andrea a hug. I haven't seen her since she went to jail.
We bailed her out.
Wait, what?
She is here, too. This is nice. It's like a reunion.
Up. Hi, little honey.
Hey, how are you doing? I miss you.
You too. Listen, I know you're coming tonight. You still want the standard 25 comps?
Please, because only half my family can go this year, Steve. I'm sorry.
Right,
half the Greek
right,
family.
Totally get it.
We have a
totally
blast. That's so much fun every year.
It's going to be a good time. And Pete, you've been very kind in promoting the show, and I appreciate that. You know you're my favorite fill-in guy, so thanks for doing that.
Thank you very much. And how do people get tickets? What's going to happen? What time does it start?
Well, the cost will be outside the theater scalping, so don't buy them from him. Get them at eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com, and I think there's a few left, so grab them.
And Rocky Laporte's going to be there, and Tim Banker's going to be there, you're going to be there, DeCoste, and Dean Richards.
And Ross Cochran. You always forget Ross, and he always talks so highly about you.
Well, Ross isn't on the Eventbrite page. If I was Ross, I would be upset about that.
Well, he needs a better agent. But yeah, Ross will be there helping us out as well. So it's going to be fun. We'll have a big year in review. And by the way, 2018's not funny. I'll do what I can. And we'll have a good time. So thanks to everybody who listens and supports all the stuff we do. And I look forward to seeing everybody tonight.
Yeah, Pete, you got to remember Ross because he's another fellow Bradley alum.
I understand that. I love Ross.
Yes.
Don't you get to see him at the meetings?
Exactly right.
Yes, at the Bradley University meetings.
The main question, though, will Abigail be making an appearance?
You know, anything's possible. Now, normally her bedtime is about 8 o'clock, but then again, so is mine.
You'd never know.
Not saying she would be the star of the show, but she'd probably be the star of the show. Come on.
I talked to Ross about just having her in the wings of the stage, and whenever anybody doesn't land a joke, just have her come out and wave.
The crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, people just go, aw, instead of
laughing. The best.
I like that.
The best.
Yep.
All right, buddy, and you're back here.
Thank you for coming out. I know you were making a last-minute decision tonight around 5, so
you know
much
what?
Like Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights, I always leave 2 for you at will call.
Driving from downtown to Downers Grove, I'm going to leave right after the show to get there on time. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's the same whiny thing I always hear. It's the same distance from Downers Grove back to the city for me.
That's true.
That is true. Yes.
You anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks,
Happy New Year.
All right, thanks, man.
Happy New Year. Bye, Steve.
Go to eventbrite.com and just type in Steve Cochran, and it comes up. It's 720 WGN. All right. Coming up next, Elton Jim is in studio. Andy, let me ask you a question.
Talk to me.
How many scarves, indoor scarves, do you own?
I wore this for you.
You did?
I did, because you made a comment about my red scarf.
Right.
So I didn't want to wear the same one today, so I wore a gray one with a little red fringe.
How many indoor, these are very small, thin scarves that you wear indoors.
Yeah.
How many do you own?
Oh, I don't know, about maybe 7 or 8.
7 or 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good enough for a week.
Okay.
So this way you don't repeat yourself.
Right. I like it.
Including my next one, it'll be my first.
I don't have any.
Yeah, I don't have any.
You need to get
them. Scarf.
Yeah. And then, of course, there is that, you've seen the way, you know, that weird little knot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't do the knot, though.
Wearing a scarf,
just
I think if you do knot with the scarf, you look smarter. I don't know what that means.
Really?
But, yeah, in my opinion.
Well, I'm not going for smart. I'm going for casual cool.
Kind of like a lounge singer?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I actually saw, where I got this idea many years ago was, I saw Orson Welles doing it. And it looked...
I have never heard someone say, you know, Orson Welles has such a great
look. He was cool, though. Orson Welles was the king of cool back in his era.
Yes. The skinny, good-looking Orson Welles.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, he was the man about town.
Right.
And so I was like, that's cool.
Okay.
And so then I said, I'm adopting the Wellesian look.
Right. I can't wear a scarf indoors because I'm always hot.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, we came in today. It was a normal 70 degrees. Andy and I immediately turned the thermostat.
The cool thing is, I just recently, about a year ago, started to take some blood pressure medication.
Really?
And the greatest, my feet were always on fire.
Yeah.
I would sweat at the thought of sweating.
Okay.
I took this blood pressure. I don't sweat anymore.
What do you mean you don't sweat?
I don't sweat anymore.
You don't sweat at all?
Oh, no.
Thank God, because we were also worried.
And so the doctor said, you know, we'd like to wean you off these, okay. You know. And like, I said, wait a minute.
Uh-uh.
I'm digging the side effects.
Right.
I said, wait a minute. If I start taking this, I'll start sweating again? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, then we have to talk.
Do you think you're just more relaxed taking the medication? Maybe that's what you. Maybe meditation would work too.
Oh God! Can you see this guy yoga? Meditating?
No, I can't do that. No, I can't even cross my legs. Not How am I going to do lotus?
Well, you know what? You can just sit there in silence, but that would never happen.
I've never done that.
As I say it out loud, I can't even do that.
Can't you tell from this crossover?
Yeah,
but don't you sweat? Just work out when you work out.
Yeah, when I do it, because apparently this medication sort of slows my heart down. So when I work out, I'm actually like fighting against my body because you want to get your heart rate up.
Yeah, you want to get the heart rate
but
up.
But this
so you can
medication keeps my heart rate down, so I'm like working twice as hard, but sweating half as much. It's a beautiful world.
Good for you,
man. Can I just real quick PSA to our listeners? Please don't turn us off.